what's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show is in the DealsNadie.com studios. Ready to start another week. I don't know if I'm excited to end a week, start a week. Every day seems the same to me.
Yeah.
But this week, something very special is going to happen tomorrow because Gary Graff will tie Joe DiMaggio's streak with his 56th consecutive appearance where he is unable to be on at the time requested.
He's a busy man, even though there's no shows going on.
He's the hardest person to get on exactly when you want him. If you throw out a time, it's not going to be that time. In fact, if you want a time, don't throw that time out because he's so busy.
That's a good point. Start doing what Julie does to me when she'll say, oh, we're supposed to be there at 4:30, knowing that I'll be a half hour late. It's lies to me.
It requires a lot of thought, but that can work. Gary had a 44 appearance streak broken when we called him cold. Pearl Harbored him. He answered the phone. He was on the show before he even knew it.
His Pete Rose streak?
Yes. Let's see. What else was there besides Pete Rose and Joe DiMaggio? Wee Willie Keeler, I think, had a 44-game streak.
Rose still has the National League record.
Yeah. I remember the Cubs record was Ron Santo when I was a kid hitting 28 straight games, and then Jerome Walton broke it his rookie year. I believe it was Jerome Walton.
What's the Tigers record?
Wow, good question. Ty Cobb. I want to say it's Ty Cobb or Charlie Gehringer.
The longest hit streak?
Yeah, Tigers' longest hitting streak.
That's Ty Cobb, question. 35 games.
Yes. Who was the catcher for San Diego? Benito
Santiago?
He had a 34-game streak or 35?
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think Paul Molitor had a long streak.
He did.
39, maybe?
I remember that one.
33, something like that. Anyway, yeah, so Gary's not going to be on.
But, what a weird way to start.
I think Gary will start with us tomorrow. Oh, man, start with us. Actually, we haven't even suggested a time yet tomorrow. We just know that he cannot be on today. And the plan is to try again tomorrow. And the reason, well, there were many reasons I wanted to have Gary on, one of which just to do something else, anything, mm-hmm. but what's been going on, which really hasn't been our choice. And, you know, for those of you who've, complained or just said, oh, I need a break from the show. It's too intense for me. It's not really, I just can't say enough that it's not our fault that, you know, events have really conspired against us. And in thinking about that, you know, boners and farts. Yeah, sure. Boners and farts are great. Mm-hmm. They're a key element to the show. But
so is everything else going on.
We've always been more than boners and farts. In fact, that was a complaint a long time ago, was that we're not just boners and farts. Come on.
That's where that came from.
And what shows do people remember the most? The 9/11 show, probably the most, more than anything. Mm-hmm. So that stuff.
And that's the way the news goes.
Not that there's any effort to do something important. I don't mean it like that. But you know what I don't like? I don't like shows where you
ignore it.
Yeah, you ignore it. Or just shows that you could listen to 5 years later and go, oh, I wonder when that show was. I wonder if that was in 2011. Oh, that was yesterday's show? You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Because they don't really tell you anything current. It's not a currency show. It's a bubble. And I think, you know, rightly or wrongly, Dave and Chuck are kind of a bubble. But that's, I mean, to their credit.
It works for them.
It works. So I have to admit, I take my hat off to anyone who finds success, except Tekashi. I don't know if I can take my hat off to Tekashi. I'm really upset about that. Well, OJ was, you know, he had jock privilege. He really did. He was a great athlete.
I'm just saying.
Okay, I want to mention our Facebook sponsor, which is Emergency Response Services Incorporated, because they do such a great job with water damage. And so many people, you know, I'm assuming it probably happened to a few people recently with the heavy rain. You get that water in the basement, you got to call somebody. Call 877, job done. And the job's done. It's mm-hmm. that simple. The job is over when you make the call. And we just had somebody who used them and needed them very quickly, and they got there very quickly. You can go to 877jobdone.com. If you have water damage, mold, which is often a byproduct of water or heavy basement water or rainwater, whatever, or sewer. Oh,
ew, gross.
I remember someone once has explained to me that, you know, yeah, we got 3 feet of water, but it's, you know, it came from here, which is like, which is good. And I was like, that's not good. But then they were talking about, well, it could have been, of course, there's a big difference. If you've had your
she
water.
She said it came out so compact that it looked like a V8 can that was followed by what she referred to as 2 minutes of hot dog water.
Turn off the water.
Hot dog water slightly better than sewage water.
A little bit. If you've been through either one of them, then you probably know the difference. Well, anyone would know the difference when it happens. But, I mean, they're all brutal. And how nice to have 877 job done. Just write it down or keep it in your head. Mm-hmm. Call them whenever you need them. And, again, the mold, fire damage, storm damage, whatever it might be, that's what Emergency Response Services Incorporated does. So 877 job done or go to www.877jobdone.com. And tell them you came from our show, and that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you don't need them. And they probably feel the same way, because they got plenty of business. So anyway, Friday the show wrapped, and I finally, after a week, mentioned the loss of the dear Layla. And we got the pictures. Can you see the pictures?
Little sweetheart. You can kind of see them from two different angles. I have one up on my computer of hers. It's a cute little picture. Yeah, hold it up to that camera there.
Where's Layla? Layla, stand up.
Oh.
Why can't I see it on my fucking camera? Why is my picture reaching? What the fuck?
Because that's the camera. That's the video that gets sent to Zoom for Brandon to see.
Layla and Meg.
To bypass it and have a better product, there's the other camera.
A talented dog.
Here, I'll hold it up. I know which one.
I just feel like, I mean, if I want to pick my butt on camera, I can't know if I'm on camera. And I feel like I should know.
There's the one.
You all know Layla. Layla is a bigger celebrity than our two senators.
And, of course, I can't see it, but oh well. It's probably my favorite picture of Mags and Layla. And I lost Layla, let's see, a week ago, Friday morning. Yeah. And oh, man, how many times I've wished I could go back to Thursday last week, that little bugger, and all these pictures. They never took a bad picture, Mags or Layla.
Nope.
Really didn't. That's a great picture of Mags.
Sweetheart.
That beaver weighs almost as much as little Layla.
It is.
It almost looks like she's smiling in this one.
Yeah, they I think dogs smile. I like this picture a lot, too. This is Mags on guard. He looks to me like he's at service. He was at service, and they were service dogs.
A beautiful dog.
Layla became my comfort dog. I became her comfort human because she missed Mags a lot.
Canine, as they call. I call it a dog.
I like that one from when Ruben was in. Neil Ruben.
That's a really good picture. That's funny. I never like pictures of myself, but I love that picture because the dogs look so pumped.
Although it does look a little bit like Mags is me tooing you.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's a pretty good picture. And
good boy,
you know, man! I tell you, at night when I walk outside, and you know, seeing those little white bloops around the yard, Layla just bopping around, Mags a little more slowly and deliberately circling, looking for that good place to take a dump. And I didn't have my glasses on. It was.
They are missed. I mean, it does seem like it's a little emptier in here.
Yeah, it is hard. And, you know, and God, you know, we spent every second with these dogs. And when they would be standing at the top of those stairs, it was always so cute. Just that we're coming down. You're coming to get us. Somebody's coming to get us. Or eventually.
Do you get bummed, or even Brandon, because Brandon lost little Bill. Do you guys get bummed when people are like, when are you going to get a new one? Like, it's just
not really
easy to replace. Okay.
I don't get bummed by it, but I mean, I really, really want another dog. It's just, it's been really hard because so many people have scooped up pandemic puppies. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of litters that I've been able to find. I need to get a hypoallergenic dog because I'm allergic and my body is weak towards canines for some reason.
Oh my God.
And I was looking for a Maltese, but everybody, all the litters are just gone. So I'll have to wait.
Get a rescue dog.
Well, the most rescue dogs that I see are either they need a lot of work because they're special needs, or maybe they're older, or maybe they're pit bulls. And I can't have a pit bull right now because I don't have the yard for it. It'll blow up my yard. I need a small dog with little turds.
Yeah, I got to get a pit bull too. I definitely want a pit bull.
Yeah, you got the room for it.
It's hard because, you know, as crazy it is, and that's one of the problems with a dog dying is you think, oh my God, I'm completely destroyed. I'm distraught. I am... You know, I'm angry at the world. How dare you take my little dog? And then, you know that another dog would be good. It would help. Mm-hmm. And you know you'll fall in love with the dog. But at the same time, like, there's no dog like my dogs.
It's not fair to the new dog. Who's going to be compared?
Yeah, they'll worm their way in eventually. They won't make you forget. But dogs are amazing. They're just a one-way trip to love.
I had to tell Charlotte. I had to let her know because, you know, she loved Layla.
She loved
coming over here and saying hi to her. Always made me make sure I told her hello from Charlotte.
Oh, of course.
Layla Mag.
So I finally told her yesterday, and she just got really quiet, which she tends to do. And I'm like, does that upset you? And she goes, yeah. I go, yeah, I'm upset too. And talked about it a little bit. And next thing you know, something else happened because she's six. And then...
You know,
and then it's on to the rest of life.
Yeah, that's true. Well, she's a few years away. I remember when.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of how old Evan and Alex were. I had Ned, the cat, and I'd brought him over, and he was there for a couple of years. And, you know, cats, when they're old, and he had diabetes, so they. You just don't see them that much. They're not around that much. And. You know, if there was a little bit of controversy, too, over whose day it was to handle the litter box. So I didn't always think of Ned as the biggest bonus to them.
Aww.
But I remember one day when I heard Alex just kind of exclaim, almost like, you know, he hit his head or something, you know. And it's like, oh, what happened to Alex? And Tessa just told him that Ned died, and he was crying. And I was like, wow, I'm so surprised. I didn't know you loved Ned that much, but you know,
it's good empathy, man.
Yeah, it took me a while because he was about 10 or 11. I don't know, was he that old? He might have been 9 or 10, and it was just, I don't know. I mean, in a way, weird way, it made me feel good. But anyway, yeah, so I'm thinking about a dog and missing Layla. And, you know, it's funny, you can miss because I was around them so much. I mean, everywhere, every floor, could not go on a different floor without the dogs, and I've gone up. A couple times looking for stuff, and I come down, and Layla's on the landing, which is only one step.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's eyeing, like, how do I get up there? Can I get up there myself? Do I have to bark to make him get me? And she and Mags were, you know, in West Bloomfield. You know, I would get up to get coffee and go downstairs, and they would be at the top of the stairs, like, wow, yeah, I think they'd sleep through it or something. But they just were very demanding in that regard. And so Layla.
What year did you get him?
2009.
Okay. Yeah, it was 09 or it was 10 because I was an intern when you brought those little puppies in. And oh my God, everybody just fawned over them. They were so tiny.
Yeah.
You know, they were. Yeah, I hate looking at those old pictures. Just, oh man.
And Maglio Ordonez was killing it at the time.
The namesake, yeah.
Yeah, Mags was hot. And for some reason, that name seemed to work for Mags. I don't know why. I mean, I don't think of Maglio Ordonez when I see him, but Mag seemed like a good name for him. But anyway, Layla would, in particular, and Mags did too when he was alive, they would always lie in the bed in the kitchen, you know, all day when I'd be there. And, you know, she'd be up and down. And, of course, as food came out, the microwave, they both knew the sound of the microwave. In fact, in the middle of the night, if I would microwave something, here comes Layla around the corner bounding, and it's like, one, two, three. Here comes Mags. And it was always like, hey, what's up? I heard the microwave. Is everything okay in here?
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He's checking in on you.
So, anyway, with me being in this part of the house, you know, Layla always came down for the show, except for, I think, one day. I think she was not feeling well, and she just didn't come down. But that was about 2 months ago, maybe. Anyway, every night when I would kind of collect myself and brush my teeth and go off to bed, it was like Layla was up and at him, and you know, off she goes, and she'd run into her bed, and she'd be sitting there waiting for me when I got there. And it's like, wow, what devotion!
A talented dog.
It's all about me, always about me, all the time. How could you not love that? But she was like that, and Mags too, and they would. And then you know, if I was lying on the couch, which I slept on the couch a lot. I put them up there, and they both would do that rub their head in the pillow thing, which do dogs' heads scratch more than we know?
Maybe.
What is that?
I guess.
It seemed like kind of a Papillon thing, but they would always do that major. Mags would be crazy, like, oh my God, what's going on with Mags? It's just his head. He had to scratch his head. They get all scratched up. They get settled in. And then, you know, everybody falls asleep. But, and then Mags didn't always come up on the couch because that became a territorial battle. Yeah. I did wake up to him a few times with his paw on my stomach, and he was up like this, like
wait,
scratch my stomach.
Oh,
he literally barked me awake to scratch his stomach.
That's, well, wow. Who owned who?
No,
you said it was about you. I think it's more about him.
Well, it could be.
Yeah,
and they're there on the time machine.
They are good dogs. Oh, in the car, yeah.
Yeah, Layla, I think she may have gotten past the time machine because she was in the car so much after Mags died. She went everywhere, and she always wanted to go too. And when I put my coat on, I always think, my dogs are so smart. Every time I put my coat on, that dog runs to the door. And she did. She always ran to the door, and she was so psyched to go. And then, you know, usually when you go run your errand, they're not very happy. They're like, oh, when's he coming back? What am I doing here? But anyway, yeah,
what a terrible, terrible year.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
It is too soon. And I, weird thing is, when they were about four, I started thinking about, hey, they're going to die before me. I don't know why, but that theme, I couldn't get it out of my head. And, you know, I guess it had to happen. I can't say I'm Nostradamus.
Well, I was thinking about it as you were talking about it. Probably the, I'm trying to, at least top three times I've ever seen my dad, like, really upset was when Nugget died, when the dog died, family dog.
Yeah,
it's pretty much my favorite animal.
You know, obviously been through more deaths, but that one really, really shook him.
Did your dad name his dog after Chicken McNuggets?
Of course. She looked like a little nugget. What's wrong with that?
Did you guys also have a cat named Shake and Shamrock?
Hamburglar?
Don't shame me.
Curious. I'm noticing a theme of, you know, naming your pets after items at your work. For example, my next dog definitely is going to be named Microphone.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're just, it's all good. It's all good. I can't ever remember being mad at my dogs, honestly.
Not even when they pooped in the house?
No. Uh-uh.
Mags was prone to dingleberries, man.
Oh, yeah, he was.
You never got upset about them dingleberries?
Well, no, I wasn't mad at him, though. I mean, it would be, it's a bummer, but, and Layla, actually, I remember once checking into a hotel, and she just peed on the carpet. She's walked in, smelled a dog, and peed on the carpet. I was like, what? She never does that! And I just didn't know why I was confused, and so, you know, I was really upset, and she just makes that face like, hey, what's up? You know, and I just couldn't be mad at them. They just looked so, I don't know.
Layla received a bone marrow transplant in January.
So, oh boy. Anyway, I got the pictures up. And never a bad picture. I don't like pictures either. I really don't. I don't like looking at pictures. But any picture of my dog, I cannot delete. Either dog. Yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, as I mentioned at the top, we're going to start off with Gary Graff. And I remembered how the show ended on Friday. And I wanted to get the pictures here just for some kind of, some sort of respectful thing for the dogs. And
you know, Drew, when Neil Rubin did come in here to do the Detroit News story on the podcast network, David Goralnik, he was the photographer that kind of accompanied Neil with taking pictures of the studio. And he also took some pictures of Mags and Layla. And I believe he's sending you an 8x10 of a picture of you guys together. So
you
should
cool.
be getting that in the mail soon.
Oh, I'm excited about that. And I was going to say about that.
And thank you, David. Appreciate
that. Yeah, it's very nice of him.
You know how you never think that a picture that they pick, my Clark could tell you all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always pick the wrong thing. But it's funny, that pic is like, wow, they couldn't have used a better picture. There could not
Great
be a better
picture
for that story. Really, I love that picture. And mostly I look at the dogs, but it just the joy. I'm wearing my Orbison shirt, which came from Maz.
Yeah. Yeah, so did that frame.
What's that?
So did that frame.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But it just looks like, oh, that guy looks so happy. and I was happy because I think I was happy because I thought, hey, they might include the dogs in the story. They might have their picture in there. And that just made me happy.
Cindy is suggesting that you take me for 2-a-day walks to keep your spirits up.
By the way, you're right. He's definitely doing that dog.
You want to take me for a walk around the neighborhood?
I don't think I can stand to lose
some weight. It worked for Megs.
I think I do want to start walking. Boy, I must be getting old thinking about taking walks. But anyway, yeah, they're so missed. And so many people, you know, like I said, I feel like an idiot for being completely waylaid by a dog dying again.
Totally normal.
But you get so many, and I hate saying anything because then, you know, first of all.
Do you feel like you become a burden on other people? In their
Yeah, I do feel a little stupid. Like, you know, I can't believe how upset I am. And also, I think I hate it because I know people know how upset I am, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
And then, but in the end, the same thing with Mags. You hear from so many people who know exactly how you feel, and it does help. And it's really, I mean, people really sent nice notes, and I do appreciate that. And I think I tried to answer virtually all of them, and I think I did answer most of them. So thanks for that. And, Gary's 10 records. Gary Graff.
He did a list?
He did. Gary's been tweeting, and if you don't follow Gary, it's at Graff on Music for Gary. And he's a pretty good follow. If you like music, I don't know why you're not following.
It's a really good follow, yeah.
So, you know, for any concerts that are announced, anything that's canceled, anything music, it's Gary. And he covers the gambit, too. He's not just a rock guy. He's not just a rap guy. He's everything. And, God, he goes to shows. I cannot believe.
Love you, Gary!
I must be crushing him right now, man.
I'm sure it is.
Shows to go to.
You know, I don't know if he ever needs a break. I think he just lives it, loves it, breathes it, and he just can't stop himself. It's one of those things. But I would think that a reviewer, a critic, a writer like Gary, by the time you hit about 40 and you've seen everything twice, three times, four times, I would think you'd just go for 10 minutes if you had to. But he really loves going. And he is, dedicated. Talk about dedicated to his craft. He is one dedicated guy. And it's the thing I think I appreciate most about Gary is he is so intense about it, and he really, really means well. Matt saw him playing softball today, which is kind of funny to think of.
Did he have a mask on?
You know he did. Of course he did.
Did he?
I think so. I didn't ask Matt, but you know what? I'll text him and ask him. Anyway, Gary kept getting hit with the name 10 albums, one a day. Why do you have to do one a day, by the way? Why is that?
Because you got
to
stretch it out over a long period of time.
Who made that rule?
Some social media expert and some middle manager.
Well, anyway, you're supposed to mention or name and no explanation either. No explanation. And no one seems to explain. But if I ever see anyone explaining, I'm going to say, you're not supposed to explain. You know, like it's just a rule. So Gary names the 10 most influential albums. I think there's another element, is there? Okay. Influential, I think, was the main thing. And Gary, of course, as always, has to be so intense about it. And so the funniest part to me was that he put, for example, his 9th one was Superstars of the 70s. It's like a K-Tel album.
Okay.
But I think that it was one of his first albums that he got. So he just knows all those songs and loves them so much that he felt like, how can I leave this off? It was on my turntable every day for 3 years. And he has another one, 24 Electrifying Performances. It's another 70s K-Tel compilation album. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of cheating?
In a way, because it's got a ton of songs on it.
It does.
I mean, it's got everything from Black Sabbath to Springsteen to Cooper to Deep Purple to Led Zeppelin to Yes to War. I mean, there's a ton of songs on it.
I kind of felt like I wanted it, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm looking at the cover of it.
I've seen some new wave compilations that I really liked. There's always like three on there where I go, I hate that. I mean, nobody ever gets a compilation just right. But, for example, Gary, and I was like, he better have a Beatles album on there. And his last one, actually his first one, was this.
What is that?
Mark, I'm going, is that some import?
He did it just to needle you.
No, it's a compilation of some kind. It's like their first four albums in one album set.
Oh, that's cheating.
And it's a TV thing that he bought, and apparently he really dug it. And it's his first Beatles album, so he couldn't help but call it the most influential one to him.
What is that called? Is it Alpha Omega? Is that what that is?
I don't know what the fuck that is.
It is Alpha Omega, right?
What does that mean?
That's the beginning. Isn't Alpha Omega the beginning and the end?
But they were. It was that was early, though. They were nowhere near the end.
Yeah.
They're still not done.
Huh.
The Let It Be album, or the Let It Be movie's been delayed a year, so the Beatles have at least a year and 6 months left. At least one more project.
I'm seeing that it came out in 73.
Well, he would have been 12 years old, I think, when that came out. So, that you know, I don't know if he has older brothers and sisters. Like, I had two older sisters and an older brother, so I was very aware of all that music that was so important to them. You know, in their teen years, even though I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I think it's the second time they were on, not the first, because that would have been 1964. I would have been 4 years old. But I definitely remember it, mostly my sister screaming and my dad saying, "Their hair's too long," which was actually a very common response at that time, which is amazing. So anyway, anybody missing all the BLM talk or COVID talk? Yeah, how was our Facebook crowd today?
Let me go back to them. I don't know where I lost. Oh, it was one. I won't tell you how many.
Oh, man.
It was 170 earlier. Now it's down to 133, so I don't know.
Well, the views are what really matters, and our views are down. People are sick of us on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Clearly. And it's the downloads that really matter anyway. Although Facebook does give you extra, gives you a little extra puffery. With the numbers,
I hate you!
I love them both. They're both important. And Facebook's not as important. If you want to help the show, download the show regularly. That really helps. Zot Ford and DealsInD.com is fired up. The community, customers, and Zot Auto Team are excited to be back at full strength to safely serve all your automotive needs. Sales and service departments continue to be as busy as ever with their new delivery truck. They're excited to deliver your dreams to your driveway. Plus, the showroom's open. They got all the COVID things, social distancing, so on and so forth, disinfecting. And then the deals. The deals are unprecedented. There's a new 2020 Fusion as low as $150 a month. There's America's number one truck. The new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $125 a month. Let's not forget about the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer as little as $198 a month. And finally, if you prefer to own your own next vehicle, as in own, not lease, they have over $10,000 in rebates on a lot of inventory. So, you know, ownership is important for some people, and they're thinking about you. And speaking of inventory, hurry, because that factory shutdown has inventory drying up quickly. That means your best selection is today, so get the party started at dealsind.com. And speaking of, I see that some of the brethren on the lines are saying, we need to shut this factory down. It's too dangerous. People are getting COVID, and I don't really know what the story is.
Are they? I haven't seen many reports.
I haven't either.
We heard a few, you know, in the beginning days, but.
Well, I did hear from someone that we all know and love who says that his plant, and he's a Chrysler guy, Fiat Chrysler, whatever you want to call him, and he said that it's just not built to distance people. It's impossible. And people said that at the meatpacking plants, too. So. I felt like when that first, I think there was the first case after they reopened, and I just thought, they can't just shut the thing down every time this happens. They can't do that. Yeah. I think they need anyone compromised can't come to work, and anybody that comes to work should be of the profile that they will survive COVID, and they got to keep going because you cannot, well, I don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
They can't make money opening and closing and operating at 10% or, you know, it's just, I mean, it's ugly. It's a shame, but it is what it is. So anybody see anything, do anything over the weekend that was interesting?
Oh, God, it's been all day outside yesterday. Parents came over.
So, oh, they did?
Yeah.
What? Wait a second. Did you distance and wear masks?
I always distance from them.
Really?
So, yeah, it's good seeing them. Annie got a birthday present. Birthday was like 4 months ago. No, it was in April.
Aw.
Wow,
your parents are really slacking, huh? They don't care about the grandkids?
No, they do. We've been very cautious.
I'm kidding, Rosie, if you're listening. I know better.
Well, there's more to it, but I don't want to talk about it now. So, yeah. I saw a movie, which I know,
what
Brandon,
movie?
You've seen, Knives Out.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Everybody that's seen it, like,
has. Is that Jordan Peele?
No, it's Ryan. Is it Ryan Johnson? Is that his name? The guy that he's done a few things.
Who's in it?
Oh my God! It's just a great cast.
Yeah, it's got a lot of Chris. Daniel Craig is the main character. He's kind of the.
He's fucking great.
He's a detective of some sorts. Chris Evans is in it, and
Chris Evans.
So
I watched Cellular the other night. By the way,
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson is really good in the movie.
I like Don Johnson. I think he's. I mean, he's got a huge crank. We know that.
Jamie Lee Curtis is really good in it. Michael Shannon, you know Michael Shannon is.
It's a great cast.
He's so fucking good.
What are all those people doing in the same movie?
Toni Collette, who probably the most underrated actress.
She's really good. But known for About a Boy, among other things.
Oh, really?
I like the movie About a Boy. I don't know why.
So it's kind of a Clue type movie. It's a whodunit, and you try to figure out what happened with this murder in this house of the patriarch.
I don't like whodunit.
I know.
Why?
Which is probably what took me a long time to get to it.
Is it like a dinner theater thing?
Yeah, kind of in a way. You could say
no!
But you know what's driving me nuts about it?
Every time somebody says, this is a dinner theater thing, it's great, the food's great, and who done it? And I'm always like, I want to be as far as possible from that. I don't want to be anywhere near that in the unlikely thing that I'll be kidnapped and sucked into it for some reason because it's too close.
Now that you say that, I don't know if you would like it or not, but it's got some quirks to it, and the acting's really good, except the main one of the main females is that DeArmas chick. I don't even know her first name. Anna DeArmas. And all I can think about is, that's the chick Ben Affleck is nailing now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Anna DeArmas. Yeah.
And she's way too hot for him and young for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, is she like 30?
Is she even that old? I don't know. She looks really young in
this
movie.
Smoking. She's 32 years old.
By the way, that's one of the main reasons I think it would be so hard to be with somebody that's, 20 years younger, 25 years younger, is that everybody goes, they're too hot for him, or he's too hot for her, or whatever. And it's like, I don't know, isn't it embarrassing to have everyone saying that about you? I mean, even somebody that I just had the greatest connection with, I'm just madly in love, I can't be with anyone else, but if people are saying she's too hot for him, I'm out!
I don't think Ben Affleck's thinking about that as he's piling into her. There was
well,
somebody-
he'll read it a lot, too. That's the worst part.
There was someone else on Instagram who had a picture of their boyfriend. I don't want to say who it is. And all anybody was saying was, that guy gets to nail her. Right, Brandon?
Yeah.
Brandon
and
I were both like, no, that guy. So then we went to his Instagram.
Is this a regular guy?
Oh, it's a totally regular guy.
Okay.
But it's
that's
a female.
Even more fun.
Yeah, I don't want to give any more out about it.
Well, there's probably,
I'll show you the picture.
In addition to all the people like you going, what? He's nailing her. Are you kidding me? Like, almost like it's a charity. Is this some charity program I don't know about? Is it his last wish?
It really took on new power when we went to his website.
Wait, what is a wish thing?
Make a wish.
Is this guy a make a wish person?
And it's really not as much about him, but here's the picture that got this going. And then we went to his Instagram page, and we were appalled that she would be associated.
Wow, she is pretty, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't really look at him. Is he just not up to her speed?
Is that all there? Sounds hot.
Is there something I don't know?
Well, I think she can. Here's another picture.
Oh, she can do better. Of course she could.
Well, here's his Instagram if you want to judge.
He's a beautiful man.
We're like, really? That guy? Come on, man. He gets to plow into that.
Stop.
What?
I mean, we can't even tell anybody what you're talking about.
All right, fine.
Well,
Dan on Facebook wants to know, is it Jim Fouts? might as well be.
We'd name him. Yeah, that's a terrible thing to have people thinking. And plus, I think there's a lot of people, it's just human nature. There's a lot of guys who go, hey, she's vulnerable. I got to keep an eye on that chick. If there's a fissure in that relationship, I'm in there because I'm hot enough for her and he isn't.
Yeah, there's a bunch of vultures just circling.
Yeah, the guy doesn't know that.
Waiting for it to break up.
That the guy who's out of his league has a 14-inch dick. He doesn't know that.
It is wealthy.
He doesn't know all the other factors.
Exactly.
All right, let me, because it's important, it's always important to mention our great new sponsor, Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. Are you guys reordering Death Wish Coffee?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, you know what I have now? I have these little things. It's kind of like the instant one.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It works, 300 milligrams of caffeine in there.
I've never been an instant coffee person unless it's an emergency for some reason, but I tell you.
That's when it works, yeah.
There's something about the pods, too. When I see that Death Wish logo, I'm like, here I go.
You're about to
I'm getting started. Whammo! Death Wish is going to punch me in the face. And it is a serious brew. It will punch you in the face with double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. I think they say on the, somewhere in here it says, pussies, do not try Death Wish coffee. It'll overwhelm you. If you're a cold brew fan, it packs 300 milligrams of caffeine if you're up for it. You can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite grocery stores. If you like shopping online, this is where most people are getting Death Wish coffee. Deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for access to all of the coffee products, including the great merchandise. People really like that merchandise.
It's cool.
If we ever are able to make an appearance, we probably could take a whole bunch of Death Wish stuff out because we got a box of it. While you're there, use promo code Drew15 at checkout to save 15% on your entire order of Death Wish coffee. Deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Drew15 at checkout. Go for it. Anybody in the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Sure.
Oh, really?
I tried placing a call earlier, and it rang and rang and rang, so that's your warning. But a totally sound woman has decided to start a petition in Louisiana, and I found out she's done this before to failure, but she wants to replace Louisiana's Confederate statues with a monument to Britney Spears.
Wait, that's I
wouldn't you love
like
to have like instead of Jackson Square, New Orleans, going to be Spear Square?
I kind of like it just because it's so silly and it's like who can argue with Britney Spears? But then somebody does have to pay to build the statue of Britney Spears. Oh, GoFundMe, they'd raise it in a second, wouldn't they?
She said they wanted a new statue that honors an actual Louisiana hero and is influential human being. Yes, Brandon. I told you we've tried her before.
We spoke to her before.
We did?
Yeah, she was really cute, and I'm trying to
I couldn't find it. I went back through and could not find it in the phone list.
Because, I remember this coming up before. So, in other words, the new round of statue toppling has led to her to...
Yeah. And the other number we could try is the guy who used to employ both Chad Daybell and Lori...
oh, really? Lori Vallow.
Lori Vallow, when they were both working at the cemetery, he was a gravedigger.
Oh, wow.
And his ironic statement is that both Chad and Tammy were excellent workers and did their jobs well beyond expectation as a gravedigger because the thing being, he didn't
that was their,
bury the two children very well.
Their occupation? They worked
for a
grave?
They worked at a grave, yeah.
They did?
At a cemetery in Utah. Mm-hmm.
This guy, I thought the guy's... Wait, his podcast wasn't a big moneymaker? I thought he had a big podcast. Does anyone check Chartables to see how Chad Daybell's podcast is doing?
His books have been now removed from Amazon. Oh. Slow down, Bezos.
He has 10 books. I forgot about that. Hold on. Can I ask you something? Why are his books canceled? Is that really part of all this cancel business? I mean, not that if anybody's going to be canceled, I really don't care about him, but I'm just asking.
He hasn't been convicted of anything.
No, he hasn't.
I'm sure there's other murder books up there.
Mamiya Abu-Jamal, Peter Werby's buddy, who killed a police officer.
His buddy.
He's a journalist from prison.
Yeah.
He killed a police officer. He's in prison for life. And he's written books, hasn't he?
I would think so. Are they available on Amazon?
I don't know. But, this is the thing. I bet if we really dug through Amazon, we could find some pretty creepy people selling stuff on Amazon.
I'm sure there's books about OJ on there. Is OJ's book on there? He wrote one, if I did it.
Yeah, probably. Will you check?
Yeah.
All right, check
Looking
Amazon
right
for that, and I will mention Hall Financial and all the money
it's
you can
available.
Save.
OJ's book is available.
Well,
I did
what
it.
What the fuck?
Although, he doesn't get that money now. It's the Goldman, so.
No, I don't believe that. He still gets money, though. They don't get it all to the Goldman. So Bezos just writes a check to Fred Goldman every month.
Yeah, well, Juice doesn't get the money for that. That wasn't part of the civil settlement.
Oh, it's the Goldmans. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why they changed it to, they changed the cover to say the if part is really tiny, and then it just says, I did it.
It's a good book. It's interesting.
It's pretty weird. Well, anyway, Hall Financial sponsors the Hall Financial Hotline. Seems obvious. And if you haven't refinanced in the last year, they would love to give it a shot. And not just because it's a one in a million and they're desperate for people. They're not. They're busy as hell. But they're helping a lot of people who they refinanced 3 years ago, 2 years ago. I had another great story last week. The guy who had problems, a number of problems, and they kind of helped grease the wheels for this. It's always nice to have somebody in your corner who knows some stuff because they're used to sort of knocking down little walls and cutting through red tape and things like that. That's what they do. So they were able to help him, I guess, with an IRS issue somehow. And he's able to save $180 a month, and he is so happy. And I think he shortened his term by a couple of years, too. So, I mean, that's a win. Hall Financial Services, very fast, 19-day average. They're faster if you're faster, and that's why they've got nearly 1,500 five-star reviews from Michigan homeowners. Go to the webpage, click on the logo, fill out the online form, and they're fast. They'll get back to you in a hurry or call 248-308-5000. By the way, this is really cool. They like our tips a lot. They know when a tip comes from the show, they're pretty damn good. So there's definitely an interest in doing a good job for us, and that's a nice little benefit. 248-308-5000 for all financial, or go to davidhallmortgage.com/drewandmike. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. That's Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435, closing lender.
So we talked to Cassie August 24th, 2017.
Well, why don't we have her number?
She's been trying to get this statue of Britney Spears up for a while, and I remember she was really cute. She was bubbly. She had a good time with us. But you're right, Mark. For some reason, we didn't save her number anywhere.
Was this a serious thing
in her mind?
I don't know if she took it that serious. I mean, she started a change.org back when we talked to her, and it had like 6,000. And then we spoke to her on the phone. We left her a message, and she called us back. So,
And just to wrap up, Amazon, Mumia Abul-Jamal has about 13 books for sale. So,
13 books.
I'm guessing
on Amazon.
Yeah, I guess I'm guessing they sell better than Chad Daybell's.
Okay,
books.
Can we call Bezos? Is there someone on Amazon we can call?
The hell do you call Bezos?
Let's call tomorrow. 800
gonna shoot.
I don't know. Well, it just seems like if they're ballyhooing that, for those of you who are worried about this, we've taken the Chad Daybell books off Amazon. You cannot buy them.
I will find a number for us to call tomorrow. Is that cool?
Would it be politically incorrect for him not to sell?
Well, the other thing,
Werby'll complain. I guarantee you, Werby'll be pissed.
Werby'll complain. I'll find other murders.
Stopped by recently, by the way. Werby's great. I love Peter.
He's like the mayor of this neighborhood.
I know. We need to have him on. Over the past few months, most people were affected financially one way or another. If you're one of those people and it's been bad, which it has for some, it's time to call attorney Tad Klimek, K-L-I-M-M-E-K. Learn your options before you have none. No one wants to file for bankruptcy, but let's be honest, shit happens. And since March, the entire country has pretty much been shit on. This is actual copy. Tad practices exclusively in Chapter 7, Fresh Starts, and Chapter 13, Restructuring. It's a solo practice. In other words, you're not going to get farmed out to somebody. Chad will actually deal with you. He might even answer. Chad, I'm thinking of Chad Daybell. Tad will actually answer the phone in some cases. Not pushed off to a paralegal who doesn't know what's going on. Plus, consultations are free, and since there's no physical hearings right now, everything is done via phone and video. You never need to leave the house. He's a huge podcast listener. You can talk in drops with Tad Klimek.
Good dude. Good.
It's pretty cool. Easy to talk to. He gets in. He gets it. And in today's climate, it's more important than ever to call him. Go to KlimekLawOffice.com, K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com, K-L-I-M-M-E-K, Law Office. It's actually Tad answering the questions. He also won't hide any fees or costs. So if you're feeling the pressure, visit K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com. Take advantage now. Remember, know your options before you have none. Never wish this on anybody, but it does happen, and there's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it, so might as well find out. Okay, so do we determine that we, is the Daybell, is that guy around?
I did not try him.
The
we
Chadster?
Can try him if you want. Or we can try Cassie about her statue.
Let's call the Daybell guy. Okay. He better not be kissing this guy's ass.
Well, I told you what he said about him.
I know, but that's what I mean. That's what I'm afraid of. I mean, why don't you just go make out with this guy who helps people hide dead kids?
God, so, what a sentence you just uttered.
I hate those two people so much. and I hate their families. I hate her fucking family who says, "Well, no, I heard they were in Arizona." And Lori, I know Lori. She would never do that. Well, then why, when anybody goes to talk to her and says, "Hey, people are praying for your kids," she won't even answer that. She won't even acknowledge it. Why is she in Hawaii on the beach when her two kids are missing and no one's seen them? "Well, I don't think it's within her control, and the kids are in danger, so she's actually protecting them." It's like, really? So it would be bad to have the police know where the kids are if they're in so much danger. Really?
Have they made a statement since the it's been confirmed that it's the kids?
I don't think
yes.
so.
Yes.
Yeah, who are we calling? Oh, really?
Yeah, his name's Rod.
Rod? Rod?
Yeah.
Like 10K Rod?
Yes. Chad Daybell and Lori, that's another example of him, a guy being way out of her league.
He kind of was.
This is a podcast.
Hey, this is Rod, and this is what I felt like.
This is Brent. So, sorry I didn't catch your call. Leave me a
message. Chad, come it! Chad!
There's one more.
Chad.
Come on, Rod.
Chad.
Quit making out with Daybell's picture and answer the phone. Honest to God, I don't know. I just hate that.
0-1.
Whoa.
Nine.
Anna.
The hell's Anna?
Anna.
All right. Well, that didn't work. That didn't work.
Bummer. And no, and of course,
someone in that control room is out of control.
I've mentioned this to some people who have been bitching about the show that there's nobody promoing anything. There's nobody. Nobody's out there doing goofy shit that you can call. I mean,
that's the problem.
It's a drag. I mean, it really makes me appreciate even these like weenie promotional tours.
I know.
It gives you a chance to talk to some cool people.
Well, we got one tomorrow, right?
Oh, that's right. Derek St. Holmes from The Nuge. And that was, I got a couple of people mentioned in DMs. They wanted to know, wait, you're not joking around. Meatloaf sang on Ted Nugent Records. Yes, Meatloaf sang for Nuge for a short stretch, and he's on multiple Ted Nugent tracks singing lead vocals. I don't know how big Meatloaf was then. What if he was? Was he Meatloaf?
I wouldn't think so, because that was well before.
It's a long time ago, but it wasn't that long before he was
the Meatloaf!
Bad out of hell Meatloaf, and that Meatloaf was fat.
Yeah.
God, that was weird. When Two Out of Three Ain't Bad, which was the first Meatloaf hit, when that came out, I was like, what is this ballad? I just, I didn't think much of it. Eventually, I would grow to like some of, especially Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. I love that song. As stupid as it is, it does have Phil Rizzuto on it, which Maz loves. That the Phil Rizzuto call of the home run is on there.
Yeah.
I thought you did a good job on this. But when I saw Meatloaf, I was like, there's no way that's that guy singing. It can't be him. People like him aren't allowed to be stars. And they're not allowed to sing love songs. But, man, people dug Meatloaf.
He's a cool guy. Did we have him in studio?
No, he's a good guy. Yeah, he was great. I love him. And he's had a couple of sort of renaissances career-wise.
Wasn't he on The Celebrity Apprentice, too? Didn't he do well?
He was. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, was that with Rodman, maybe?
I remember him asking, begging Donald Trump, please run for president.
Oh.
It's all Meatloaf's fault.
Wait, I got to ask something. Did Meatloaf cry a couple times on Apprentice? He did, didn't he? That was weird.
He's an emotional guy.
That freaked me out, though. I was like, this is too much. It was just too awkward. It was like he got up that day and said, "Fuck, it's the most awkward thing I can do on The Apprentice." I'm just going to start bawling my eyes out. Okay. Can you take care of this?
Sure.
I just want to grab my drink. I never brought my drink down from upstairs.
It's all right. I'll tell everyone about Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsInTheD.com. They're all fired up because their community customers and Zot team are excited to be back at full strength to safely serve all of your automotive needs. Their sales and service continue to be busy as ever, and with Zot's new delivery truck, they're excited to deliver your dreams to your driveway. All the Zot dealerships have quickly and safely adapted and trained to ensure that they can continue to deliver you the world-class experience you deserve. During the during Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event. Feel free to go online and enjoy their enhanced online shopping experience and check out their unprecedented deals like a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month.
Or it's my dream truck, man. It's just, that's why I like.
A lot of people love Jeeps. If that's what you want, a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. Then there's always the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee for as low as $247 a month. And, of course, the Wrangler right now. Get a Zot employee pricing for everyone. 0% financing and $1,500 in rebates. If you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now, speaking of right now, you have to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown has inventory driving up very, very quickly. That means your best selection is today. So go get the party started at dealsinthed.com.
Yeah.
Hut. Another one we could call is who makes Band-Aid? Is that Johnson & Johnson? We should try
Band-Aid?
We should try calling them. Yeah, they make Band-Aids, you know? You put them on your boo-boos.
Sure.
They've now solved the problem of diversity and brought the races together by having a new set of Band-Aids to match all kinds of skin tones. And they're ballyhooing it. And they want your they want you to congratulate them for solving the issues of today.
Well, I mean, that seems like it would be
anyway. I assumed they already did that. So if anything, shouldn't they be getting shit for not doing this sooner?
Well, you're going to see a lot of that because there's a lot of changes going on now. So a lot of people will say, hey, how come you didn't care about that a month ago?
Well, one of my first thoughts is that's pandering. But I guess if you have kids, you know, it makes sense. I don't know. I just thought it was really silly seeing how much they were ballyhooing that. Hey, we have different skin tones now. It's like, well, where have you been for the last, you know, century?
I have frozen two Band-Aids here.
Yeah, so. No. Do you ever wear them?
Yeah, just the other day I had to put one on my toe. I ripped my toenail off.
Gross.
Had to cover it up with Elsa. Yeah. It's just the ones we have here. We bought some because Madeline likes Frozen.
I just like how companies are taking advantage of this now to show us how woke they are and how much they care.
I've seen a compilation of the social media posts from various companies. Tons of different various companies.
What's the most annoying one?
It's one of those things where if you don't make a statement, you're in trouble. So,
but why? Why does a company have to make a statement? It's a company. Does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense to me. One way to solve this and get everyone on the same page, and I think Quicken Loans is onto something here. They've made Juneteenth a paid holiday for all of their 30,000 workers, and it made me think, hey, why don't we just make that a federal holiday? Isn't that a good step? Give everybody, because everybody wants a day off. Everybody loves a day off.
Well, let me ask you this: was Juneteenth always a holiday of some sorts?
All I've known is that it's existed for a long time, but I think most of us know it because of the situation that happened nearby with the guy's truck, at least on the show.
Right. And that's the first time I found out about it was when the guy in Clio, his truck got vandalized. There was a lot of bad things spray painted onto his truck, and it happened on Juneteenth.
So
that was pretty much when I found out about it. And, you know, when you look it up, it says that it's kind of existed as Freedom Day or Jubilee Day.
And I think
varies. I didn't know that because it wasn't really observed. You know, we don't close our post office for it and stuff like that. So when I first heard that story, I kind of thought that Juneteenth was something that was like celebrated by white supremacists or something.
Because of the attack on the truck. But right. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Just make it a federal holiday? Just add another holiday? No one's with me? You're not with me on this?
Hey, I'm for as many paid holidays that keep people from home as possible. I mean, I think that there's a couple stretches, like the beginning of the year, you have quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a big long stretch. I can't remember which one it is exactly, like where there is none.
You're talking about having another holiday, 2 weeks after Juneteenth with July 4th. But I'm all for it. And this is really interesting. Reading the story where Quicken Loans is giving that paid holiday off, they said that it'll be a paid holiday for team members who choose to commemorate this day. Who is not going to choose to get a full paid day off? Especially when there's perception going on with it. Like I guess if you're really, really racist and you're bummed about the Freedom Day, you don't want to take the day off. But wouldn't that show your colors? Side you're on?
June 19th is Juneteenth?
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
And 1863, it's been around.
I don't know.
1863. And here it is. I just found out about it 2 years ago. I mean, yeah.
What was in your prep today? I didn't look at it yet.
Dude, I don't know. I didn't prep it out either.
There's a bunch of people getting canceled, right? I can't keep up with the people getting canceled.
It was a little off the grid this past weekend. It was a little bittersweet. I had a funeral, one where, you know, you have the showing inside indoors, and it was, you know, all masks. And then
How weird was that? I mean, aside from it being a family member, how weird was the setup?
The funeral home is open even more, all the different rooms, so you can try to contain 10 people to each room.
Were people wearing masks?
Yeah, yeah. Inside, people were wearing masks, and then it's difficult. You know, you want to comfort people. You want to give them a hug. You haven't seen your family in 4, 5, 6 months, and you want to shake their hands or something like that. And it's just difficult not to do that.
Yeah.
It's weird. But then the following day, Saturday, it was actually the outdoor funeral, and followed by an outdoor lunch. And there really wasn't a lot of masks there. And so I kind of didn't know how to feel about that. I was like,
You were judging all your family members to whether or not. But you said there's not many cases up around them.
It's far up north. And, you know, there's not a ton of cases as you go farther north. But then again, you just, who knows? This whole thing, at the same time in the back of your mind, you're thinking second wave.
There was a new story reported about COVID-19 and all the fraud that's going on, which we kind of expected, the unemployment benefit fraud. But did you know one of the biggest perpetrators of the fraud is a Nigerian crime ring called the Scattered Canary? They're responsible for most of the fraud, which they like because of the $600 a week in unemployment benefits that the feds gave, the Congress enacted.
It's that damn Nigerian prince again.
I know. This is kind of interesting, though. So desperate people are finding their unemployment checks and stimulus payments have been stolen. They're also being bombarded with offers for fake cures, fake work at home, messages. Another way that they're scamming people. There's about $50 million in losses for the for consumers so far. Whoa!
Oh.
You okay?
Yes.
You just came collapsing back in. What happened? Ooh, did you trip over something?
What? My chair,
what it sounded like.
My chair like slipped off the plastic.
Oh,
into it.
Oh man,
I hear the replay. Wow,
I don't know if you spilled coffee.
I didn't spill anything. Amazing.
Okay. I was telling Brandon about the story about the coronavirus fraud, and a lot of it being perpetrated by Nigerians, a Nigerian crime ring. So $50 million in losses, but this is – I never thought that this would be a way that they would –
Wait, how are they getting – who's reimbursing these assholes?
Well, they'll steal stimulus checks.
Okay.
And one of the ways they did it – of course, I think people know that they'll have like fake website that'll be, check your stimulus payment status, and it won't be the IRS, and so then they'll collect all your information.
Oh, God.
But another thing that – there's two things I thought that were interesting in this story. They have W-2 scams in which a hacker spoofs the email address of a CEO and asks the HR department for a list of employee tax information.
Problem
is, since a lot of people are working at home and away from the office, that the office doesn't have the usual firewall up to say, this is a fake email, this is not the boss.
Oh boy.
So they end up getting the information that way. But the other thing I thought interesting, too, people are getting ripped off by buying PPE type stuff, face mask and hand sanitizer, and it never arriving. Never shows up. So they're buying it from a third person on Amazon or from another site.
United States of assholes.
Or Nigeria.
Here we are. Yeah, well.
It's just amazing, though, at the ingenuity of scamsters.
I know. And COVID. I don't know. What is the results of the protest? Because those are the biggest crowds I've seen since COVID started, and not blaming the protesters.
Well, we should see this week.
This week? It's been, how long has it been? When did George Floyd die?
I think this is day, today would be day 12 or day 13.
No, that's impossible.
Well, no, really?
Because
George
I was
Floyd
watching
died
it on
May 25th, didn't he?
But when did the video came out and when was the first protest?
Well, the Free Press was talking about day 12. But maybe we didn't have protests here very long.
No, it's been at least 2 weeks, isn't it?
Definitely. It's been...
Well, I've been listening to back episodes.
Almost three.
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks.
Hold on.
I'm telling you,
I need to know this because I'm starting to find that I can't know anything for sure. Last night I was watching, you know, the Rayshard Brooks. Is that his name?
Yeah, down in
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Since that, since he was killed, whatever, however you want to say he was killed, and I don't want to talk about it right now, but I watched three networks: CNN, MSNBC, CNN. Because honestly, I felt like I just can't quite figure out what the truth is here. Because if you watch one channel, they put it this way. If you watch another channel, they put it this way. And if you watch another channel, they put it this way. So I'm really like, what? I mean, it's if you listen to, I won't say what channel, you can take a guess. If you listen to one channel, you would believe that a man was tired. I swear to God, somebody said this. He was tired after work and he went to sleep in a Wendy's parking lot and the police killed him.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, there were a lot of people saying, man goes to sleep, the man's asleep, and the police killed him. I mean, they would leave out the entire middle part.
He had admitted to me to drinking.
But he was not just asleep like, oh, man, I got to pull over, I'm too tired. He was in line for the drive, and I'm not blaming him, by the way, so let's not even start on that. He was in line. I just want accuracy. I just want to know the whole story.
He definitely was in line because my serious issue, Shell, thought is, that was one really long drive-through line in the video when you watch it.
Yes, it was.
I didn't know he was. For some reason, I thought he was parked and not in line. But
I thought he was in line. They said cars are driving around him.
But to your point, that's the thing. We don't know.
Do people call 911 because someone is crashed in the corner of the parking lot when people are just
stormite?
Okay. Can we find this out now? Because in my mind, he was in line to get food. And by the way, it doesn't really matter.
No.
I just would like to know what it is. Where did he fall asleep? Now I feel like I'm completely derailed now because this was something that I thought was a fact. He was in line to buy food and cars were driving around him because he was asleep. And it reached a point where it was so annoying that someone called the police.
That's the information that I have. He was blocking the fast food.
Can you look it up, Brandon? Can you look it up? I want to know for a fact.
This is the information I have.
Okay, thank you.
10:30 p.m. on June 12th, Atlanta Police Department officer Devin Bronson responded to a 911 complaint about a man in a car sleeping in the Wendy's fast food drive-through lane in the south side of Atlanta, Georgia.
He was close to the front of the line, too, I believe.
He found him in the car, and he awakened him. He instructed him to park his car and then called for backup. And that's when things, I guess, escalated following the questioning.
So he pulled a Darren McFadden.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, pretty
Except
much.
Except he woke up and was able to move the car.
Well, Darren McFadden got a DUI and went to jail. Didn't he go to jail? Or didn't he get arrested?
Sure did.
Oh, he got arrested, yeah.
And in fact, he was given a sobriety test. And he failed the sobriety test. And so they were about to arrest him when he started fighting with the two police. And in fact, he kind of kicked their asses. I mean, not kicked their asses, but I mean, if you watch that, these two guys are desperately trying to control him, to arrest him, and he wins the fight. So anyway, it was driving me crazy that it would be suggested that the police just went and, I mean, from some of the commentary, you'd almost think that they just shot him in his sleep. Like, they just went up and said, what's the fucking guy doing asleep?
Well, it's on video. We can all see it.
Yeah. Well, but they're not showing the video when they're talking about it necessarily. And it was just insane. It's like, that's not the whole story. You're not telling the whole story. And the story is not good. I don't like the story, but at least tell the whole story. And and speaking of serious issues, y'all thought, there's another video, TMZ put it up, where these guys are recording the aftermath. Did anybody see that?
No.
And they're just yelling at the police, calling them pigs. And he's going, your life's over, you asshole. Your life's over, pig. You'll never work again. And all I could think of was the United States of assholes, that this person who probably thinks they're 100% right in taunting the police. I just thought, who does that? I just don't, you know, it's like, why? What good are you? First of all, calling police pigs is just bullshit. And why do people do that? Well, I know why they do it. In fact, I saw a survey over the weekend. Oh, boy, I'm going to head down a rabbit hole now.
Well, do you want me to answer your George Floyd question?
Sure.
May 26th.
I thought Brandon just answered. Oh, the protest question.
In Minneapolis and in Michigan the 29th. was the first one.
Okay, Minneapolis is the first. That's when it starts then. Sure. That's so day one. Yeah. Minnesota, there are buildings burning. There's just, I mean, it's pretty fucking crazy in Minneapolis. That's the 26th of May. So that means 5 days in May, and today is the 15th. Okay, that's 20 days. So how could it be the 12th day of protests?
And then nothing got spread, I guess.
Well, no, I mean, but that's what I mean. That's my feeling. I forgot why we were even talking about it. Nothing got spread. Okay, then why were we ever told we couldn't be in crowds? If nothing, I saw, wait a second.
So they can show how much they can control the population.
But what happened? Yeah, exactly. How does it not spread from those protests? That's just the weirdest, craziest thing. Was there some God-given immunity?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen numbers from Minnesota.
What I mean, it's
but
not just Minnesota,
we still
though.
See, it's a rapid increase.
It's every major city in America has giant crowds, the kind of crowds that if they'd been a few weeks earlier, our governor would have been saying, they're extending the stay at home because that crowd is too big and they're spreading coronavirus and they're going to take it back home.
It's also hard to track considering there were so many outsiders that showed up in Minnesota. So.
But they're all from somewhere.
I'm joking.
I know that's the other thing about, you know, the whole outsider thing. It's like there are people doing it. Is it really that important to know who's doing it? Those are people doing it who need to be stopped from doing it.
There's Minnesota's graph, right? I'm trying to find. There's May 29th.
Well, I mean, I don't even want to look at a graph.
Okay.
No, go ahead. No, I don't care. Well, no, I mean, tell me what it says. But the thing is, if the crowd at the state capitol in Michigan, I don't mean to get hung up on this crowd and the politics of it, but if that was so dangerous, what happened at the state capitol, then what I saw on my TV was 20,000 times as dangerous. I mean, way. You can't even quantify how much more dangerous it was. And, you know, these people were passionate protesters. I respect them for going out there night after night after night. And I do think some people, probably not as many as we'd like to think, but some people probably said, boy, that's so intense. The passion and sincerity of these people is so strong that I'm actually paying more attention to it, which is the point. I mean, that's what people are trying to do when they protest. And for that, I give them credit. Also, it seems that they've ended coronavirus. They basically said, what I want to do is more important than you, you know, telling me that I'm going to kill my grandparents. And I'm going to do it because I got to do it because it means something to me. And the unfortunate thing is that most people felt that they did not have that option, you know, whether they had remember all the people who were outside their loved ones' windows in hospitals because they couldn't go in because, oh, my God. I mean, it was pretty the beatdown on people in terms of not getting together with anyone was so intense that people who had dying parents were standing outside windows just mouthing things to them. Mm-hmm. And now we have not just somebody in a hospital room with a dying relative. We've got thousands of people right next to each other screaming, and there's apparently no coronavirus from it. So what it's not that I'm judging anyone here. I just want to know what I was told beforehand and what I'm hearing now, it doesn't compute. My brain is just going, eh.
I guess we're all lied to.
Well, I want to understand it, but nobody's explaining it. I mean, there's not even anyone on TV saying, hey, you know, it might be kind of weird to you that, you know, you were told you couldn't do anything, go anywhere, and then all of a sudden all these people who are well-meaning people who are livid about what happened in Minneapolis, they're out there protesting thousands and thousands and thousands of them in every city in America, and it doesn't seem to be that big a deal. And we, the media, who led you down the path along with your elected leaders to tell you that you couldn't even go in a hospital room with your dying mother, we're really confused about this. And we'd like to explain. No one ever says that. And maybe that's what drives me crazy, is that it seems like somebody would explain it. But instead I hear that, oh, the reopening has really caused a rise in the coronavirus. You mean tell me that the reopening has caused this big spike in coronavirus, but all those people in that giant packed-in group together, they didn't.
When was Memorial Day? Like, when was that?
2 weeks ago to
so the
Monday.
Protests were before.
Yeah, protests were May 26th. Minneapolis.
Memorial Day is the day Monday.
They were
May
before. 25th.
That was the day that George Floyd.
You know, this is really funny, Brandon. When you said May 26th, I have been reading this for days now that it's day 6, day 9, and I'm going, God, it seems like it's been longer than that. That absolutely started that night,
so
because
protests,
that's the night other cities broke out the same night.
So the protests started before Memorial Day.
Yeah, May 26th.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Even worse.
I'm sorry. Memorial Day. I'm thinking Memorial Day is the 31st. Memorial Day is not necessarily the last day of the month.
Memorial Day was the 25th. Same day that George Floyd died.
Because all the stories are always the spike from Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, but Memorial Day weekend was nothing compared to these giant crowds in every city.
So I guess that's just whatever happened on Memorial Day weekend that they're going to attribute the spike to that.
Well, I don't know who they are or why they attributed it to these people for Memorial Day who went to this party in Branson, but not the people that are screaming and jammed in like sardines at protest after protest. I mean, Brandon, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I talking to myself? Because honestly, if you watch TV and you watch people talk about COVID, they'll talk about the state reopening. The state reopened, and look at the coronavirus increase. And it's like nobody ever says, "Oh my God, look at the coronavirus increase, the protests, and now the increase. Holy shit!"
That's one of the craziest things.
I mean, I feel like I'm losing my fucking mind, and it's not because I'm mad at the protesters or I'm mad at the reopening people. I'm disconnected from the truth, in my opinion.
If you take a look at Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the last two episodes, not the one that's going to be airing tonight, but the Sunday, May 31st episode and the Sunday, June 7th episode, it could not be the craziest difference between a 1 week episode. The 31st talked about voting and why we needed to have absentee ballots, and the entire hour was focused on, we absolutely cannot have an election because we can't have people close to each other and voting. And then 7 days later, it's very high praise for people that are all coming together in the streets and all coming together for, you know, this cause and, you know, to battle police brutality. But within a 7 day period of shows, it's such a crazy difference between how we need to act when, you know, we're trying to quarantine.
Well, not only that, you've got, John Oliver's a good example, I think, but there's a ton of people who were scolding anyone in a group and suggesting that these, you know, these horrible, deathly outcomes were absolutely, I mean, it was not even in question. You're going to kill people. And then all of a sudden, not only do we not even talk about that for the first 5 or 6 days, there was literally no discussion of the coronavirus implications. And again, I feel it sounds like I'm this horrible racist. Hey, get those black people protesting. They violated coronavirus rules. No, that's not it at all. I just want to understand why it was so absolutely, devastating if 10 people got together and then all of a sudden these giant protests. And I understand there's a difference between 10 people having a barbecue and people upset about George Floyd. There's a huge difference. But nonetheless, the other thing still exists, as you explained it to me earlier.
Yeah. I don't think anybody thinks coronavirus went away.
Well, I think a lot of people think it went away. They think that George Floyd made it go away because people went out and proved that it's not that bad. Not that it's not that bad, but just that, you know, reasonable people of a certain age can assemble and they're not going to kill themselves.
Okay.
In fact, I have not heard of anyone dying that went to a protest. Has anyone heard a report of anyone, oh my God, so-and-so went to this protest in Chicago, he's dead from coronavirus? I haven't heard anything like that.
No. So why aren't we playing baseball and football and basketball yet?
Good question. I think we will be sooner than we think. But baseball's a great question because
aside from the labor disputes, why isn't just gung-ho go forward then?
I think that there's so much fear over, you know, what would happen. Also, will you be liable for fans?
Sign a waiver.
I don't know if they want it on their heads, but baseball is so interesting to me because they just can't agree on the money, which is just seems
that's
so
baseball.
It just looks really lame.
It's baseball.
Just
though.
Lame. And is it Kyrie Irving that doesn't want to play basketball?
Yeah.
Now, you explain that to me. Well, just tell me what you told me before.
Well, he basically said it's will serve as a distraction and kind of make people not pay as much of attention to the protests because sports is a distraction.
Well, I have to tell you, my first reaction to that was, wow, you might want to deflate your ego a little bit, Kyrie Irving, because we don't all just stop our worlds because you're playing basketball. In fact, until the semifinals of the playoffs, there's a lot of people who pay no attention to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the people who are paying attention to the George Floyd thing and police...
Don't you think the protest got as big worldwide because there wasn't other stuff going on as well?
It definitely had an effect. There's no question. I think there would have been protests no matter what.
I don't think this will have as much of a distraction effect as, say, Kyrie Irving thinks it will. But I don't think it's even close. I think there will be a somewhat of a distraction.
Well, if everyone's back at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if everyone's back at work... whether the NBA is playing or not means nothing. And people aren't going to go, you know what? The Cavaliers are playing the Bulls tonight. I just don't want to go to this protest. I don't believe that for a second. I don't even believe the first round would have much effect, except the two cities that are playing in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, he makes people sound extremely shallow by saying that.
Well, that's kind of what Chappelle
said. Is the NBA seriously considering not starting because of George Floyd?
No. No, they don't care. I mean, I'm sure they care, but I should think they want to play basketball a lot more.
Isn't it amazing that baseball players and owners would feel that it's worthwhile to push the start back further? It's worthwhile if we don't have a season at all because we can't figure out how to divvy up the money? I mean, isn't that incredible?
Well, why bother playing a 48-game season? It just seems kind of silly anyway.
Well, at this point, because they've been fighting the last month.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really made it almost impossible to start.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand why the push to get it going.
Well, because if it doesn't get going, it can't get going. It's going to be too late. It's all, in
well,
my
it's
opinion,
too, that's
it's
my point.
Pretty
it's
late already.
It's already too late for baseball.
Well...
And boom goes the dynamite.
And frankly, I don't understand why basketball just can't do the playoffs. I don't understand why they have to have these.
Because they need the money from the last few regular season games.
Yeah.
They don't want to refund,
The Stanley Cup should just happen. Just have a tournament.
When's hockey start?
I don't know.
Hockey is supposed to start, isn't it?
Who knows? I don't even know.
College football
is. Yeah, they're going to be doing their. They're going to be doing that addition, that big tournament where they add a few extra teams, and that'll start on July 10th.
College football is really, I'm just laughing out loud because the idea was, well, you know, we can't put these students at risk by having a full campus and people in dormitories and mess halls and all that, but voluntary workouts start June 1st. Let's see you. Let's see you out there.
Student athletes.
What the fuck? You got to be kidding me. And then the rationalization is, I'm not sure what the rationalization is. I think it is, these workouts are voluntary.
Yeah.
Only if you want to go. It's like, yeah, voluntary. That's like saying...
a lot of them are
being canceled. Jim Harbaugh is not going to be upset if his quarterbacks decide that there's too much risk.
Well, if they want to play.
Right. So, in other words, they're not voluntary. They're not voluntary. Don't even tell me they're voluntary.
Well, Houston...
And they get paid not 1 cent.
Houston Cougars just ended their voluntary workouts because they had a bunch of, I think, 6 or 7 players get ill.
Houston, we have a problem.
Iowa has 10 that have COVID.
Alabama had 5, and Auburn had
some,
didn't they?
5 out of 50, and Auburn had a bunch.
So
a handful.
So they just take those guys and quarantine them, and they keep going?
Some of them didn't. Houston didn't. I don't know what Iowa's doing. At least they have that hospital right next door, right?
Yeah, and despite all that crap with the MLB, there was a coach and an MLB player who've tested positive, but they haven't told the public who that person is.
We can't seem to test enough people, but damn, we can test these athletes every day.
Crazy.
We can test college football players who are student athletes every day, but we can't test enough poor people or people without the means to get tests. We can't figure out a way to do that.
It's all about who has money and who makes the economy move.
Yep. Sure is. Because I didn't want to, trying to fluff up the show a little bit today. That's why I wanted to have Graf on in particular. And I didn't even get to this, but I wanted to definitely talk about it. Did you guys see the King of Staten Island?
No.
No, and I wanted to, but I just didn't have the time.
Did you watch it?
I did. And I got to tell you, I liked it.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I think it was too long. In fact, if you check, I think it's 2 hours and 17 minutes. Is that possible?
God, that's way too long.
I think Judd Apatow, is this Apatow's movie?
Yeah.
I think he thinks his... I think he has a little trouble with the editing blade because he thinks his writing is very important.
He did the same thing with Funny People. That one just dragged on.
I know.
I still like Funny People. Like,
but
the
only 2 hours and 17 minutes. Yeah.
That's too long.
Oh,
it's
God,
just
too long.
But I got to say, Bill Burr's in the movie.
Yeah.
Bill Burr's fantastic. Really funny. And I thought it was he did a great job. Marisa Tomei, I really like her. Yeah. She's... Damn, she's cute. How old is Marisa Tomei? She's still so cute.
She expressed some regret in playing her first mom role a couple years ago.
I know, that was a little weird.
Now she's being, you know.
Yeah, she's a mom. She's totally a mom.
Yeah.
She's a sexy mom, though.
She's hot as hell.
Hell yeah,
how old is she?
She's 55 years old.
Is she really? God, she looks good. Anyway, they were great. Steve Buscemi is great. Pete Davidson and his friends are funny in their Pete Davidson, you know, 25-year-old way, which, you know, can either come off to me like, I don't know, I might be dismissive of it if it's not real enough, and also dismissive of it if I just think it's dumb. But I thought it was fairly realistic. Pete Davidson is good, and he's funny. And the weird thing is, and this doesn't really matter, but I think about it because I think about these things, and he's been on my mind a lot the last year or so. Mm-hmm. He's playing himself. I mean, not Pete Davidson from SNL, but he's playing Pete Davidson pretty much.
Kind of like Eminem playing himself in 8 Mile, but wasn't really himself.
He's acting like Pete Davidson acts, and I think a lot of these things are from his life. His father is a fireman who died on 9/11, and he, you know, there's that stuff. And by the way, they use a joke in the trailer that's at the very beginning of the movie, which I thought was kind of weird.
What do you mean?
Well,
they typically do that, don't they?
The first joke in the movie?
I thought the stuff in the trailer is usually in the beginning of the movie. Usually.
It's funny. I've never really thought about that. It was just weird.
You don't
want
to give away the movie.
Here's why it was weird, is because... You know, I had seen the trailer maybe a week ago, and I definitely remember that one thing from the trailer, probably more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just pops up right at the beginning. I'm like, oh, that's the thing from the... So the best thing in the trailer is the first joke in the movie? What the fuck?
I thought the trailer looked awful, too.
I think the movie's better than the trailer. I don't know how you do that.
Is it a coming-of-age film?
Not exactly.
Good.
And by
that's
the way, Pete Davidson playing Pete Davidson... He's such an asshole. He's such a jerk.
Well, you probably would like it a lot more if you knew less about him.
I would. You're right. I still would say that character is a jerk. And in the other movie, the one before this, that did well, I mean, with Good Rotten Tomatoes, that movie, I thought he's playing Pete Davidson, too.
Yeah. What was that one? Big Time Adolescence?
Yeah. So how does this guy not be Pete Davidson? When does he do the movie where, hey, that's really against type? And
he's going to be typecasted as Pete Davidson.
Well, that's the thing, though. He's never, even with SNL, he never did characters. He never. It's all just him and his stand-up. I think he's destined to be a stand-up comedian who makes the occasional, you know, movie here and there.
Well, he's got two movies in a short time, and they were very ballyhooed movies. I'm sure somebody will cast him for something else soon.
I think he's got stuff coming up already.
Yeah, I'm looking at his credits.
So does he have to always play Pete Davidson?
He does now.
Maybe he can just go on making movies playing himself, and
that's not gonna last.
I don't know. Good.
Maybe he can do more of the roasts.
He's good at those too.
Yeah.
I have to believe that
he's not long for SNL.
I don't understand why all these incredibly hot chicks like him. That's the part. Maybe it's the last
disconnect
I have with him. He's just really a difficult person, and he's funny, but he's not like a stud. I mean, he's not the kind of guy. I mean, if you looked at him alone and you said, oh, there's the Amazon delivery guy, I don't think chicks are going to be swarming to him. But
why come you don't have a tattoo?
And I certainly wouldn't think Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale would be going, oh, I got to have him.
Oh, Beckinsale has kind of... I think she's kind of lost her mind.
I think it's one of these weird things where they want to change him or something. You know, all those tattoos they that he gets, them. He's admitted that he gets those because he cuts himself. And cutting yourself isn't really going to... Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a scene with him.
Brandon's dinner just got delivered. That's why he went, oh, wow.
Here it comes.
Oh, two-plater? Is it two-plater?
No, it's a one-plater.
What is it?
Like is there someone that's been employed by your household to deliver your dinner? Because I never see the person that is actually bringing the dinner. Does that person show up on camera very often?
No, she just, Kristen just passes it to me and walks away.
How do we know it's Kristen?
It's definitely her. I got nobody else making food for me. I ain't that hot.
So what is it today?
Barbecue chicken and potatoes and salad.
Nice. How come nobody's complaining about Brandon eating during the show?
Well, I'm trying to keep it down, like turning off my microphone and stuff.
Well, you're the biggest complainer about people eating, though.
Oh, I trust me. I know, but if my wife's going to make dinner,
pot,
I might as well get a plate, right?
The other movie I watched right before King of Staten Island, because I wanted to watch something else so I would have this to fall back on, because I thought I'd be interested in it. And so I popped in Infamous with Bella Thorne.
Oh, wait. Isn't that a porn? No.
No, it's her playing this sort of crazy girl in this crazy domestic... she lives with her mother, who has this horrible boyfriend who steals money from Bella Thorne.
Okay.
And it's just a real sort of an upsetting, just out of whack household. And she has this neighbor who she kind of is digging, and he's been in prison, which she thinks is hot, I think. And there's an incident that forces that. Oh, she's also on her phone all the time.
Oh,
and
great.
She only has 49 followers, which she's bummed about. They
the Jesse Taylor story.
Isn't that his name is somebody Taylor? Is it Jess Taylor?
No, Jesse what's Taylor? The I'm nothing without my follower.
His name's Dean Taylor, I think. Oh, her name's Jesse Taylor.
I have no skills. I bring nothing to the table.
Yeah.
I'm not work material.
Well, anyway, they go, they bolt. There's something happens, and they leave together. They're not even a couple yet.
Hmm.
And they go on kind of a little spree, and she starts recording stuff, like robbing a convenience store.
Okay.
And she gets all these followers, millions and millions of followers.
Hence the title of the movie.
Infamous, yeah. And she really is enjoying her following, even though innocent people get killed and stuff. Oh, she loves the fact she's got this huge following, and it's pretty stupid.
You want to guess what it is on the thermometer?
Yeah, I'll guess.
I have nothing without my following.
I'm going to guess the audience gives it a... boy. I'll say a 54.
55.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, what about the critics?
I think they're going to like it less. I'll say 31.
20,
okay.
I can't believe you're 1 point up on the audience.
I can't either. That's pretty good.
That's the most amazing thing about you, honestly. Your ability to guess the thermometer scores.
Now, I want to say, too, since we're talking about entertainment, that I'm really proud of The Bachelor.
It's over. They solved it.
They've picked a black bachelor after complaints from primarily Rachel Lindsay, the black bachelorette. It's always weird to me when the person, like if one of the guys who was on The Bachelorette and was one of the potential her picks, gets booted out in the first round, which is now they make them keep him for the second round, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you'd have the white bachelorette and there'd be four or five bachelor black guys, and they'd always get thrown out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they said that was too racist, so pick 11 out of the whatever how many white people there are, and we're going to advance the four black guys, and then you can throw them out in the second round. Because that's usually what happened, isn't it?
That seems to be the...
That's
the
my guess.
Yeah.
So it's always weird to me... What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I got mad at the pick of this guy, mainly because all the write-ups are about how he's a former college football wide receiver. So I immediately went to check
Colton.
Out, look at his stats.
Oh, yeah. And?
48 catches. He had 40 his senior year. So he really didn't play until his senior year, but he didn't do anything, and he did it at Wake Forest.
Well, it's ACC. It's Division I.
I guess. I don't know. I was less than impressed by that.
How many yards and touchdowns?
For his career?
For his last season. I'm interested in his senior year just because.
401 yards, 0 touchdowns. The guy never even scored a touchdown.
It was his longest catch.
It doesn't have it on here.
It was stats against the Hokies. Anyway,
what if that was his best game?
It's just kind of a little odd that Rachel, the one black bachelorette that was picked, is the one bitching. It seems like, well, they picked you, but she is, and because she feels that the show, well, actually, she was part of a petition demanding a more diverse contestant pool, and she threatened to leave the Bachelor Nation if they didn't do something about it.
Well, I mean, that there goes all their diversity.
So,
you need to leave.
Bachelor Nation.
I must ask, where would she go exactly if she left the Bachelor Nation? Because that's all she is. She has a following. She's an influencer because of The Bachelor. So if she leaves The Bachelor, she should shut down her Instagram and start it over, shouldn't she, by rights?
Yes, yeah, because that's otherwise what got her that game.
She's taking advantage of the white privilege of The Bachelor in a weird way.
But now she's mad that she's mad that they already announced it.
Yeah, she's mad that they picked Matt James because she said she thinks it's a token thing that – they don't really mean it. They just did that. It's like a knee jerk. She said it feels like a knee jerk due to societal pressure.
Wait, though. He accepted it, so he doesn't feel that way about it. So what's wrong?
I don't know. What would be a better move? To not have a black guy? Would she be happier if they did that?
Or wait?
Well, we don't want to have a knee jerk reaction, so we didn't pick a black guy.
Wait one season?
No. That's kind of what I just thought. This is so ridiculous. And she said she thought it was like the Instagram black box. It was just symbolic.
Oh, I think there's a little bit of truth to that. Do you think
it doesn't address the systemic racism of The Bachelor?
Would he have been The Bachelor if it wasn't for what's going on?
I don't think so.
Of course not. So she is kind of right, but at the same time.
And I hate to be fussy, but because she seems to pick on every little thing, isn't it kind of just ironic that she picked a white guy? She could have picked a black guy.
Can't help who you fall in love with.
But wait a minute, Drew.
She did date Kevin Durant.
The last three guys were white.
What season was Matt James on?
He's on the next one. He's on the upcoming one
that we haven't even seen yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is definitely just one of those look at us type of things, because normally they never, ever, ever announce it until the finale of the season, and now they're just rushing it out there just to make, you know, save face.
Yeah, they caved. They caved into her demands, and then she doesn't like the caving.
Wow.
By the way, she picked
a white guy?
He had six of his 40 receptions against the Hokies.
How many yards?
In that 29. And that barn burner of a game. 6-3, which I knew you remembered that game.
The worst game in college football history, yes, possibly.
Yeah, 6-3.
Oh, my God. Oh, so
the
bad.
3-8 Wake Forest team.
Oh, it was overtime, too.
It was, yeah. Two overtimes. It was 0-0 after four quarters.
The worst game. What a shitty game. Great defense. That was the beginning of the end for Beams.
Total yards 254-234. Was it really bad weather? Why was it so bad?
No, I don't think it was that bad. I don't. It was just both teams were terrible.
Wake Forest 42 rushes for 74 yards.
Nice game.
Vatek 39 carries for 111 total.
Yeah, boy.
What a shitty game. Did you watch the whole thing?
No, I didn't. I missed it. It was one of those things where I was like, oh, we're going to win today. We're playing Wake Forest at home. And then it's so, 6-3. What?
I can't believe it was 0-0 after regulation.
Yeah, I think I saw it was 0-0 in the fourth quarter. And I thought, we'll kick a field goal later and win it. No.
It's like that infamous, remember Michigan Northwestern? It was
54-51?
It was 0-0 at half. The moon game.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That was a lousy fucking game, too.
So Friday, Dave Chappelle had a 27-minute thing released on Netflix because he just wanted to sort of, hey, I want to be part of this. Not really, though, because he said, I'm not out there marching. I'm not there demanding attention because the people are doing a fantastic job, and I don't want to get in the way. And I liked the way he put that. I thought it made a lot of sense. In other words, instead of him just suddenly start posting BLM, BLM, and, you know, look at me. He said the streets are getting the job done.
Yep.
And I couldn't agree with him more.
Yeah, it was him responding to Don Lemon. And then he brought back his old joke about, he did it after 9/11. He said how MTV had Ja Rule on and how many people are sitting there going, oh, tell me what Ja Rule thinks about this. And he brought up Ja Rule's name again as if we need to know what Ja Rule has to say about George Floyd.
Where is Ja Rule? How could he be part of that stupid concert and still be going?
It's not my fault.
Why isn't he canceled?
I was bamboozled.
That's right. I take total responsibility, but it's not my fault.
You know, the funny thing about canceling is I hate the idea of canceling. It's so wrong on every level to say, this person did what?
Yeah.
They should never have any existence again, ever. You know, give up your job, give up your this, give up your that, you're done. Mm-hmm. And these, a lot of these people are in midlife. They're in the middle of their careers, and it's over. And it's not something people are going to forget, because anytime they get Googled, oh, you're canceled. I can't hire you. You're canceled. So,
breaking news with Mordcrew.
You want to know what Ja Rule's up to?
Yes.
All right. Well, he's got himself a new celebrity show-off show alongside massive stars like Diplo and Bella Thorne. And it's basically going to be some kind of a talent show. Each episode will feature five celebrity contestants premiering a self-shot content with the goal of attracting the largest online audience. So this is what he's doing now.
What a scam.
But he ripped off all those people.
It wasn't his fault. He was bamboozled.
But he took responsibility.
No, you know, I think, did we not let him off the hook for some reason? Why is he off the hook for that thing?
Because
he was out there promoting it as much as anyone.
He was an investor in McFarlane's company. He got ripped off too.
But he knows what has to be done for staging. He knows what has to be ready to have an event. He didn't tell anyone, don't go! I don't know. It's just strange to me. And I, again, I don't like canceling, but sometimes I feel like, well, if you're going to cancel, why is he canceled?
Why isn't he arrested?
Seems kind of nuts to me.
Do you want
to
hear Don Lemon's response to
not really, because I hate Don Lemon. I
he's
just don't
the worst.
Like him.
He's so bad.
I'm sure he's trying to act like it's all cool. I just know that.
Well, I don't
knowing.
Know. I'm sure
he's going to say, like, yeah, that's a good
hey,
one.
Don Lemon, squeezy, keep it easy.
I haven't heard it yet, but here's the clip, and it's got the clip of what Chappelle said about him, too.
And I'm watching Don Lemon, that hotbed of reality.
He's so bad, Don.
Smell my penis.
He says, where are all these celebrities? Why aren't you talking? Does it matter about celebrity? No. This is the streets talking for themselves. They don't need me right now.
So as it's playing, it has Don Lemon watching it and listening to it. And of course, he's smiling along.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he loved it. Everything comes up all Don Lemon.
He made Lemon look so bad. And he should. It was a stupid thing to say.
And really deep, and there is irony, Don, in the fact that he's attacking you for calling on celebrities to speak out, and he's doing just that in this special. But what does it feel like to have Dave Chappelle talking about you like that?
He likes it.
Well, Dave Chappelle is my favorite comedian, and I do care what Dave Chappelle says.
I bet you invite him on the show.
And I actually, well, first of all, I think my nieces and nephews will actually give me, you know, some props because they'll think I'm cool now.
No,
that Dave
Chappelle has
mentioned my name, and I'm actually honored to be memorialized in a Dave Chappelle special. That's an entire special, so I'm excited about that.
What?
But
what
I do,
are
I,
you
I
talking
have,
about?
What I will say is that I actually agree with Dave Chappelle.
What?
I agree that I think the establishment has been a bit behind, and some of what we created, and I consider
you about to lose your job.
Over 40 years old.
I love that drop. I still love it.
The young people who are out there in the streets don't really care what we have to say. They think that.
All right, I don't even want to hear anymore. He goes on for like another 2 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd like that.
But you hit the nail on the head. He does enjoy it. He enjoys the attention.
So, and as far as the celebrities, they don't help. We don't need them. That whole clip about, you know, I will never allow for a stereotype or a racial joke in my presence. Honestly, it makes him sound like you must be the hanging around with the biggest pile of racists. You go to white supremacy meetings every week? Yeah. What are you talking about? And I'm being totally honest here. I have not heard anyone I associate with, and this is not the biggest crowd of people, but I don't hear people throwing the N-word around. I really don't.
Not at all.
It's not something like, you know, people tell this horrible racial joke and I laugh my ass off. You know, who said that? That's the guy, the shaved head guy with the glasses.
Oh, Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci. Who are you running around with?
Apparently Justin Theroux.
Seriously. And, you know, as far as Hollywood, You don't have to tell us how you feel. We already know how you're going to say you feel. Yeah. Whether you feel that way or not, I don't know. But I really, really am so skeptical. I hate bullshit. I love the name of Charlie's show because I hate bullshit. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of no BS news.
But isn't that kind of the refreshing thing about the Chappelle special 846 that he put out, was because it seemed incredibly genuine.
Well, he's always
just
genuine.
So fucking good. It's not necessarily funny. It's not funny really at all.
It's funny at times. He's always funny because he responds to himself, you know, like, am I boring you guys?
No, he's got to be the most self-aware entertainer out there. He's got to be.
I love Dave Chappelle. He's really got to be my favorite right now. He really, as far as stand-up, he is just the best. And I just love him as a person, too. He's fabulous. And I love, this is really weird, but I love how he uses the N-word. For some reason, every time he uses the N-word, I feel like it adds a little something. I don't know. He doesn't use it all the time, but he's not afraid to use it. And it's always very conversational.
It's incredibly conversational.
I want him to be the N-word czar. Because I think Dave Chappelle knows when it's malintended and when it's...
I don't know if Neil Brennan still uses it. Neil Brennan, you know, is the guy that created Chappelle's Show with him, has a really funny story about why he's allowed to say it, because he says it on stage, and how he was grandfathered in and how he's allowed to say it. I don't think he does that bit anymore.
No, it's
almost like Chappelle wasn't the one that granted him the usage part, but it's a good little bit.
But, you know, I think with Don Lemon, going back to him for just a quick second, I actually, for some reason, happened to be watching Don Lemon when he made that call for the celebrities to speak out and this, that, and the other. To tell you the truth, I really, really believe that what he meant was having celebrities join him and join people on CNN and on MSNBC, because he even made a statement.
Well, that's pretty selfish.
I don't care if you go to Fox News. I don't care if you go to MSNBC.
Oh, bullshit. I do not believe that.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear from celebrities.
I just thought that he was trying for himself to maybe get celebrities to join him on his show. Yeah.
I personally, my feeling on Hollywood is, and I like a lot of those people, and I love movies. I love all of...
Hugh Grant.
I like him in cameos. I generally like entertainment as much as anybody. Music, I love music. But I find it really hard to believe that every single person who treks out to Hollywood to forge a career in entertainment or in the movies or in sitcoms or whatever, I can't believe they all think the same thing. I just don't believe it. I feel like it's a uniform.
No, because, I mean, you got your James Woods and your Adam Sandlers and Rob Schneider.
Sandler? What did Adam Sandler do?
I'm just saying that he's among a political mindset that is not the same as everybody else in Hollywood.
A lot of those SNL guys, Norm. And
but Ben Stiller. Okay, if you start naming Hollywood people that are on the right, you'll find that the list is very short, and most of the people are established.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Stacey Dash is one of them.
Her career was over when she really started all that. But Clint Eastwood, people always go, Clint Eastwood and James Woods? Well, first of all, they didn't make a big deal about it when they were younger, and also, James Woods, I don't think it's been good for him.
No.
John Voight. John Voight's 80.
Yeah.
John Voight. Whatever. You know, I don't really look to them for information, but I just find it. And I think a lot of them are getting called out because they go, hey, that's you? You know, like the New York Times article, like these people who are, you know, BLM, BLM. And then they're like, hey, if you're so BLM, what about blah, blah, blah? In other words, you're a shitty person. Don't start moralizing about black lives when you treat black people like shit. So I really have a hard time believing a lot of these people, because I don't know how you could get such a large group of people that all thinks the same. And if you watch the Oscars or the Grammys, there will be one reigning train of thought, and it's all the same. It's like, I know what they're going to say. That's why they don't need to say it.
It's the Grammys.
Why say it? If I know you're going to say it, and then you say it, you're just taking up my time doing something that is not adding anything.
Did you see there's change coming to the Oscars?
I did. You know, this group, again, for such a well-meaning bunch of people, they must just have the most horrible racism and misogyny problem of anyone, because you have to make actual rules or they won't do anything about it.
Well, and then therein lies the question. These rules are just to be considered for an Oscar? Or are they, is that that important? I mean, I don't know.
There's probably 50 movies that are made a year that are thinking about that, yeah. So they might.
So but those ones might. But
are you telling me that a movie that comes out of nowhere to become a fan favorite, that they're not going to find a way to meet the criteria?
I don't know. So what are their new rules exactly? Wait,
time out.
They're creating.
Remember Ben Affleck's 50% rule, and yeah. All those people said, "I'm not going to be in any movies that aren't 50%." So those people should all be in stuff that is all completely diverse at the appropriate levels already.
Yeah.
If they're breaking that rule, then why are they breaking that rule? Has anyone? We had a forensic accountant go through Ben Affleck's movies since then.
Well, yeah.
We found out Natalie Portman is in movies with male directors. She's the one who screams the loudest.
Well, FX's last movie we went through, and wasn't it 9 out of 10 of the major roles were all white men? Yeah.
So I mean, it's just that's what I mean. It's all gobbledygook. It's like you don't even mean it.
Yeah.
But now
they just
movies
think it sounds good.
Movies that want to be considered for an Oscar have to follow absolute rules of diversity, and honestly, to suggest that this is so important that if they're going to get an Oscar,
I know it's the Oscars,
an Oscar, they're forming a group to come up with diversity and inclusion standards, and any film not meeting this criteria cannot be eligible for awards. I just want so many forensic accountants all over this.
Again, this is due to independent films when maybe it's just you and three other people that make it, you know, like Blair Witch. That was like three white people that made that entire movie.
Well, not eligible.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Not eligible. Although they had a Hispanic in there.
They had Pedro and his cousins.
By the way, what if it's a low budget movie like Napoleon Dynamite where nobody makes any fucking money?
Brandon's saying, yeah.
I mean, isn't it kind of almost discriminatory to include a lot of people that are of different backgrounds because you're just going to waste a lot of your time making no money?
And this isn't going to help people because Green Book had a lot of diversity in it, and Spike Lee still turned his back on it.
That's right, yeah.
Spike Lee's out there defending Woody Allen this week.
He's backtracked. You know,
he apologized
today.
Back. I was already
really?
Sorry.
Yeah, it was more about it. He was very anti-cancel culture.
Well, I'm with him on that. I hate cancel culture. It's so wrong.
It doesn't solve anything.
But first of all, people make mistakes. We know they make mistakes. So why is it that one mistake matters? A certain kind of mistake, and only that mistake matters. As we learn with Lea Michele, who does not have a history of racism per se, but she throws herself into the BLM thing as a willing participant and in all the right ways. And all of a sudden, but you're a total bitch. You're nasty to everyone. So bye. Why would that cause her to be canceled? If she'd never said anything, nothing would have happened.
Yep. She should have stayed silent.
And there's a couple really good stories along these lines. Let's see. What else did I want to cover?
Well, with the Oscars, what? They have to meet a
they
diversity.
They're having a committee to come up with a list
force.
Of all
yeah.
the things that they have to do in order to be an Academy-nominated movie.
Which you wonder behind closed doors what the pushback's really going to be and what it's really going to encompass.
Because I got a little bit confused for a minute because I thought you were talking about the Grammys.
I'm sorry.
No, the Oscars.
The Oscars,
because the Grammys actually came out.
It's the Grammys!
And they had to change the Grammy Award for Urban Contemporary Music because it's not urban is wrong. And so it's now changed to Progressive R&B.
Okay. Progressive and urban, I think of two entirely different things.
Yeah.
Urban, I tend to, it's urban cities, inner cities.
Yeah.
It's certainly not rural. What's the opposite of urban? Rural.
Yeah.
Rural. Yeah.
Progressive, to me, that is aggressive, front at the front, moving things forward.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
So I don't even know, was the name wrong at first and now it's right? Or is the name wrong now and it was right then?
What were the categories? Best urban, what was it? Contemporary?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it just be best contemporary?
Well, because they're trying to make sure that trophies go out to a certain group. If they say best contemporary, then it includes everybody.
Is that another category, best contemporary?
I think it is.
I mean,
I don't know.
Once again, this solves nothing, but couldn't we just, can everybody just wink, confusion. Wink?
But, you know, the word urban, I've heard people object
why don't they just
to that
do the
word
lady?
Like you're saying, like it's a swear word. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I see this with words all the time, and it drives me crazy because when Trump said thugs, was it last week?
Yeah, in his tweet, yeah.
immediately someone came out with this, and I'm sure it was not a well-meaning person either, that it was Obama talking about thugs, I believe in Baltimore.
Yeah, after Freddie Gray.
So since Obama said it, it's become a racial term. Hmm. But Obama said it, and it was, I think, 4 years ago. So what happened to the word thug?
So is Urban Dictionary going to change, too? Are they going to be contemporary? Or what is it, Progressive Dictionary?
I want Progressive Outfitters.
Oh.
Now, why don't they just go the Lady Antebellum route and just be best R&B album, just drop the rest of the word?
You know,
it's just silly. It doesn't solve anything.
In terms of my my fight to know what the truth really is, this is another one that I really don't know. It makes me crazy because I just like knowing if something's true. Trump did the Bible thing in front of the church. It was one of the probably the great successes of his
looked totally natural, very grassroots,
totally in context to anything going on in the world,
and the whole activity beforehand, clearing the area, that went very well. Yeah. People appreciated immensely.
They've now admitted that one person used tear gas when they were using mace.
Well, that's another one. It's like, how do I know what happened when no one's, there seems to be no fact.
It's just amazing that they found the one guy. Well, no, because both sides are saying, you know, they used all tear gas. And the other side's saying there was no tear gas. And now
they also said that they announced that they were clearing the area three times. And they said, no, there was no warning whatsoever. So anyway, this is beside the point. But Trump did end up standing in front of the church holding the Bible. So then there were all those memes. And in the course of all of that, somewhere along the line, I read this. And I read with people agreeing it because it was, I believe it was a post on Twitter. It was a picture of Bill Clinton holding the Bible in front of that church after being impeached or being cleared of or after winning the vote against impeachment, one or the other. Is that a lie or is that true?
Because I don't know, but when that bishop who runs that church came out and she was really mad at Trump, she did say, and I think she might even mention Bush in it, that they actually all went inside the church and actually used the church.
Presidents go there, yeah. No, but Bill Clinton held a Bible in front of the church as if, like, I'm cleared, and look at me. I care about this church, and this book is everything to me.
Good.
This book helped me through this difficult time after I got a bunch of blowjobs, and people wanted to...
It was not the same. Okay, well, this is...
No, I'm saying that the photo was taken July 9th, 2000, of Bill Clinton. The caption... is it the same church? The United Methodist Church?
No, this would have been like
Clinton
19...
did worship there most Sundays when he was in town, according to the Post.
Okay, so he did not take a picture in front of the church after impeachment in 1998 or so 99, 97.
It did not happen.
It's not the same church. I don't...
Did he take a picture holding a Bible after impeachment?
Well,
A picture of him. You said it was last year or this year?
What?
There's a picture of Bill Clinton holding a Bible in front of that church. And by the way,
it's not the same church.
I don't even think that it matters if he held a Bible or not. I don't even care. I just want to know, is the person saying that, which had all these people going, yeah, did that even happen?
I'm reading.
And the answer is no. I mean, this is the problem with so many people having voices, is so many of these voices are so full of shit.
So the photo of Clinton was taken July 9th, 2000.
Oh, 2000?
Yeah.
Well, that's 20 years ago.
The caption says it shows Clinton waving his Bible, quote, following a church service at Founder United Methodist Church.
That's not after impeachment, though.
Well, I mean, technically.
Well, his term is almost over then. No, I mean, yeah, it's after impeachment. They made it sound like he was voted to be not impeached, and then he went in front of the church and held a Bible and took a picture.
Clinton,
that is a lie.
Clinton was pictured carrying his Bible after attending a church service at his church, which is kind of what that bishop was saying.
Well, I'll try not to waste so much time on these specific truths. But let's see. Okay, before we finish with canceling here in the United States of assholes. Yeah, Howard Stern there was an attempt to cancel Howard Stern on, I guess it was mostly Saturday. And this clip came out of Howard. Should we just play the clip? It's got in the middle. Okay, first of all, he's in blackface. And according to, and I read a lot about this because I like Howard generally. Mm-hmm. I enjoy his show, always have. you know, I could certainly take issue with certain things, but overall, he's had a monster career. He's the king of all media, and so on and so forth. And I take a lot of interest in what he does. He, according to what I read on Saturday, has been in blackface either 4 times or as many as 20 times. But I'm beginning to think the higher number is probably more, because I saw many different pictures of him in blackface pretending to be different people. The audio that they included was from his pay-per-view special. He's making fun of Ted Danson, mm-hmm. who wore blackface, and Howard's wearing blackface, and he's throwing
and Sherman Hemsley around. He's canceled now, even in death.
Sherman Hemsley is playing Whoopi Goldberg.
He's complicit.
And, I mean, he says the N-word multiple times. It's not real...
No,
I don't know how you could say that, well, that's okay because it was this or whatever.
He's making fun of Ted Danson.
No, he's saying the N-word multiple times, yeah. and he was on The View. Was he just on The View? Now, somebody can tell me that was in 2005. I mean, I never know what the fuck anything is. You just see these things put together and you go, well, it looks like this. Anyway, they show him in blackface, letting the N-word fly.
I think it's when the last book came out was when he was on The View.
Okay. Then they show a clip on The View where they are discussing the N-word and the fact that it's appeared on Howard's show, and Howard says he had the KKK on, and he let them use the N-word because they might as well just get it out there. And I've heard a couple of those things. There's one guy from the KKK he's had on multiple times who's actually a very entertaining guest in a very weird way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great radio, honestly, and I thought it served a purpose.
It would be good radio, yeah.
But what Howard said, and he said, I want to make this very clear, I did not use the N-word on my show.
Man, boy.
And
well,
so
not,
then
not, another split in hairs because has he said the N-word on his show or just on this pay-per-view special?
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you, but
it
sounds to me like he's saying he doesn't use the N-word.
Yeah.
And then the clip continues with him saying the N-word some more and a couple of these jokes, and he's in blackface, and it's like, whoa. I mean, if you're trying to, if you're doing the Mark Furman thing, I have never said the N-word in the last 5 years,
yeah.
And you're going back, and in Mark Furman's case, by the way, well, that's a whole different story. I mean, he's in a court of law, but it just looked very, very bad. I don't think you even need the View thing to make it bad.
Of course, yeah.
I would say it's, you know, Ralph Northam wore blackface in 1981. I mean, it was 40 years ago almost. Some of the Stern people are saying, that's 26 years ago.
God. Yeah,
I don't know. There seems to be no statute of limitations.
I would say the only difference is that Northam is now a public official. That's my that would be the only difference.
The Virginia Tech women's tennis team aren't public
sure.
officials,
no,
but they were singing along with a rap song which had the N-word in it.
Right,
they sang the N-word. What's your name from The Bachelor? Sang the N-word, and this is of course virtually unforgivable. So I don't know why. And again, you know, I say this not liking cancel culture, and I knew when I saw this thing, I'm like, he's not canceled. I just know he's not canceled. I don't know why he's not canceled, but I know he's not. I know he's not going to be canceled. Because,
well,
first of all, Sirius makes too much.
Fired. Yeah.
No, Sirius makes too much money off Howard Stern to be canceled. He could write a check for $100 million to Black Lives Matters. Or
that's his way out of this.
Yeah, I expect him to write a fat check. I haven't heard any response whatsoever. I'm guessing, if I have to guess, I'm going to say he's off the air this week.
Really?
Just a guess. I don't know. Brandon, what do you think? You know the show pretty well.
Well, he's off quite a bit.
He is off a lot. And he could always say that I was off anyway.
Yeah. We'll play it.
I don't know. This past week they had a lot of big guests. Maybe they were gearing up for it. But I could imagine them being off in a couple of weeks for the 4th of July. So I think they'll be there Monday.
Does Robin provide him some kind of protection? Is that why people aren't?
Well, couldn't the girl on The Bachelor say, best friend's black? I mean, what does it matter?
Because she's.
I think he says that, but I don't know why. Why does it? If you don't like people saying
the N-word,
I don't
think it does. I'm just wondering. I'm just trying to wrap my head.
No, I don't think it makes sense. Why would she? It seems to me she's complicit.
Just like Sherman Hemsley.
And I got to tell you, she looks very awkward on this bit. In fact, should we play it?
Yeah, you mean the Ted Danson one?
Yeah.
Well, that's the role, too.
Why don't we just play that? Because to be honest, I don't think Robin looks particularly happy about it. I don't know what's going through her head.
She's playing the straight man so he could throw the word, so Ted Danson, quote-unquote, could throw the word and then blame Whoopi for writing it. which is what
right.
Ted Danson did.
And I know
did.
That Ted Danson, he's parroting Ted Danson here, which, but...
Okay, and honestly...
But look at the stuff around him. Look at the props.
Why isn't Ted Danson canceled? That's the other
because
aspect
Ted Danson is a known left person, beloved left person who did something stupid. Why is anyone canceled?
No.
I mean, certain people should be canceled. I mean, there's a very small few. Harvey Weinstein should have been canceled. Bill Cosby should have been canceled. But, I mean, I'm just saying, all these people who've made a mistake in an effort to be funny or to, you know, do something, I don't understand any of it. It's so wrong. And I know in 30 years, somebody go, 30 years ago, an incredible thing happened in America where people would simply sing along with a rap song and be canceled. And they'll go through it, and they might even have a movie on it, on people who are canceled and how their lives were destroyed and how wrong it was.
There's a documentary. Someone should do it.
I know!
Canceled.
Because it's complete madness. I still don't even understand how it happened. How did it happen that suddenly people could be destroyed over something that they, some small thing they did, and in some cases, something they didn't even do? You know, we'll even cancel a 16-year-old kid from a Catholic school who's at an anti-abortion march. I mean, talk about being doxxed and, you know, driven through the mud and pictured, too. We used to not allow anyone under 18 who was not a public figure. It just wouldn't happen.
I'll play this here. Rick. Just take a look at the stuff that's around it, too, because some of the props aren't really helping his case.
There's a lawn jockey and there's chicken.
No, they're not helping.
No. Yeah. Oh, hush up. I hate blackface. I just can't get this shit off. Besides, Whoopi done wrote everything I'm going to say here tonight, so it's all right. Ain't that right, you smelly nigga?
I didn't write that.
Well, you is a smelly nigga. I got some more jokes for your New Year's Eve party there.
You're not tired of this.
And don't be racially offended, because Whoopi done wrote them for me, okay?
Here we go. Go ahead.
Black hole.
Black hole.
You're going to love this. Hello there. What do I loves most about the Whoopi?
Oh, yeah.
Such a great timing.
Hey, Robin, what does you call a black rocket scientist?
I don't know, Dad.
A nigga. Whoopi wrote it. Whoopi wrote it. Hey, did you happen to notice this?
Pause it for a second. Does Robin look like she's enjoying this?
Robin doesn't care.
No, but I mean...
Robin laughs a lot on that show.
Supposed to be the point of the bit because he keeps throwing it out at her.
I've just never seen Robin when she's not humored laughing. I mean, this looked weird to me.
Oh, it does look weird.
I'm not
weird.
Saying that she's mad. I'm not going to speak for her.
This
but
video's been on the internet for 30 years.
Yeah. I've never seen this video.
Really?
I've never seen it.
I remember when all that blackface stuff was happening, Brandon, you and I were watching it down here because there was a whole pile of them.
Well, yeah, there's a whole compilation of other times as well.
I remember Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, they've been brought up many times. You know, Howard also has special needs people on the show and talks about them shitting their pants. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. He has a shield. He does. He has always had a shield and he still has a shield. And I think his shield used to be that if you complain, he would do something to you that you would not like.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what it is.
But he does show. I'm not, because I don't want him to be canceled. I don't want people to be canceled in general. And do you think he's embarrassed by this now and is horrified by it?
I'm not sure. I think he... See, I was trying to answer for him yesterday.
Well, I mean,
I don't know why, but I was.
People do grow and learn. Isn't that kind of supposed
yeah, but
to
that
be the
doesn't. Ralph Northam
shit?
Couldn't have said that. Ralph, I've grown and learned. Fuck you. You had blackface on, and Megyn Kelly's a third of her class signed something that said they all knew what that meant.
Okay.
I mean,
she was screwed no matter what, though.
Think about how insane this is.
Yeah.
The view part's in there, too.
In this one, no. I was actually looking for that, the part with the view.
Okay, well, let this thing wrap this thing up, and let's see what else happens.
My mother, Mama Danson. Why, she done working blackface, too.
She must be very proud.
Yeah.
Now, I know you really love me, Ted. You the man.
I tell you, you know, you the man. What done happened to Sherman's career? It's really off the end. I want you to give us a kiss, you smelly coghead coon. I love
May
you.
May I say something
yeah.
here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can say whatever you want, you smelly nigga.
Oh!
Whoopi wrote that.
That's it, Ted. You didn't know I was going to say that. Whoopi had no chance to write it. I don't accept that kind of language. You can call her whatever you want, but you don't talk to me that way or I'll leave.
Well, don't let the door hit you on your big black ass, mama, on the way out of here. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Now, Whoopi, you is a filthy nigga.
I didn't.
Hmm, okay. Play that the was view. Just that clip. You know.
The view thing is not. Is that scrubbed?
I'll find it. Give me a second.
It was honestly. It was like the main one. I think it was Terrence K. Williams was tweeting it out, and that's the only reason this thing got out was because, or it just went, got busy.
Yeah.
Was because this guy had almost 1 million followers, and then Don Trump Jr. retweeted it.
And that's the thing. That I just clicked it off Don Trump Jr.'s page, so I figured it would start.
But Deborah Messing didn't retweet it. Alyssa Milano didn't retweet it. Chrissy Teigen didn't retweet it. I didn't see anyone on the left that had even a mild interest in it. Now, Howard is very much on the left. So is that his shield, too? Is that part of his shield that he's on the left? Because, let's see. Who's the senator from Minnesota? Al Franken was on the left.
Yeah.
He didn't have a shield. Although people I know have forgiven him.
Yeah, and Terrence K. Williams, it's all that same clip.
Yeah, the view part's not in it either.
Hmm. Maybe ABC complained.
Well, I don't think that would stop him.
I just don't know why it would be scrubbed from... I mean, I could not play that without getting the view thing in the middle yesterday. There it is. That's
there
on the view.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. It took a minute.
Which one is that on, Brandon?
From YouTube, Howard Stern caught lying on the view.
Hey, open it up in YouTube real quick. I just want to see when it was posted originally and like why it got new life.
Probably because Terrence K. Williams.
I was in college in the 80s. And
so 19.
I found your show so offensive. You used.
Thank you.
That's what I figured, right? You were a shock jock.
Shocking.
You were shock jock. You used the N-word a lot. You said,
no,
really?
I used the N-word.
Yeah, you did.
Wait a second. Hold on.
I remember that.
Whoopi, hold on.
Wait.
We had a guy on from the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
Who very freely used the N-word.
Yes.
And my belief was, hey, say it out in the open.
Yes.
And I didn't use the N-word. Let's be very clear.
I'm not my thing.
Let's be very clear.
And I heard you on the radio. Well, Stern on the radio.
Yeah.
And how do you get off with such, you know?
What do you mean?
How do you say nigger on the radio?
Like this, nigger.
Yeah.
Call the midget. Well, and midget is, I learned from the special, is really a derogatory word. It's the same as calling a black guy a nigger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you're you calling see, him a nigger. It's like Paul the nigger.
How much easier with saying midget than I am
dwarf?
Yeah. Yeah,
see,
no problem.
I have no problem saying midget around a midget.
Right. Yeah, go up to a black guy and call him a nigger, see what happens.
I didn't use the N-word. Let's be very clear.
I
wrote everything I'm going to say here tonight, so it's all right. Ain't that right, you smelly nigger?
I didn't write that.
Well, you is a smelly nigga. Hey, well, you is a smelly nigga, so what's the difference? I love you, you fat lip little baboon.
Okay. Something tells me that the conversation we just heard on the radio, I don't think that makes it to Howard 101. Just a funny feeling. It seems that they have expunged anything that, you know, could
someone saved that for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know where. I honestly have no idea where this came from, and I did not know these clips existed. I'd never seen them before.
Mm.
So, you know, my feeling is I don't like canceling people, but I don't understand. This wasn't. He didn't even trend on Twitter yesterday. Did not even trend.
Huh.
Now, if this was Rush Limbaugh, that would have been on top of Twitter.
Yeah.
Is Brandon frozen? Oh no.
No,
I'm not frozen. I mean, this is it's to me. Things that were done in the past, and I know that there's not an excuse for it, but in the past, I guess there were just times where you maybe didn't think that it was going to come back to haunt you, or maybe it didn't mean...
Well, I'm sure Ralph Northam felt the same way. I'm sure, the guy that was Curtis Blow at a Halloween party felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, those guys were pilloried. They were absolutely
decimated.
Decimated.
Howard's on The View saying you never did it.
That's, I think, the biggest thing, as he said, I didn't.
But it still isn't a big thing. No one on the left retweeted it. Wow, I'm not kidding you. If you go, I went through the Twitter because I was like,
Twitter's run by liberal elites that silence everybody.
Well, no, Twitter can be as loud as it wants to be, but no one on Twitter, the people on the left on Twitter who have the giant followings, they didn't want to touch it.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, it's Howard Stern, and we know. We know in his heart. You know, he went to high school with a lot of black kids, and his, right. his partner's Robin, and she's black, so if it's okay with Robin, it's okay with me.
No, they probably just want to be on his show again, or they've been on his show before, and they don't want to get dragged into it. They're complicit. Anyone that's ever been on his show is complicit, including yeah. Donald Trump.
Oh, you know what?
I can't keep up with all of it,
I'm sure that has something to do with it in terms of all the retweeting of it yesterday, is that Howard has been blasting Trump. He's been blasting Trump's followers more than Trump, because Howard generally likes Trump in terms of as a guest on his show.
Mm-hmm.
He liked him. He went to, did Howard go to Trump's wedding, or Trump went to Howard's wedding, or maybe both? But and Robin likes Trump as a person. But Howard was very specific about thinking that he doesn't like Trump's people that vote for Trump, and Trump doesn't like people that vote for Trump. That's what he said a couple weeks ago. They got a lot of play. So probably people on the right were going, oh, well, now that you're going to go after Donald Trump's followers, how about this? And nobody on the left bit, because a lot of these things are gotcha moments.
Yeah.
And they got them.
How about that?
That's about as big a gotcha as I've ever seen. And it's really, I don't know, I didn't feel right watching it. I mean, I watched it, but it just didn't feel funny even.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when something's funny enough, you say, well, if you're going to fuck up, if you're going to do something that's that politically incorrect, at least it's funny. But
the joke about dancing is that, because he did that, he said when he showed up in blackface.
Whoopi wrote it.
I mean, that was the joke.
Yeah, Whoopi was his patsy.
Yeah. There's other ways to get that joke out other than...
But you'll never, if this was...
Although he is dressed like Dan, I don't know. It's all the other stuff.
Well, no, I can't say, why is what the Virginia Tech girls lacrosse team or tennis team, is that trend on Twitter and this doesn't? Everyone knows this guy. He's about as well known as anyone.
And
is that because everyone's mind is already made up on him? Is that it? Like, we already know what Howard is, and he's terrible.
Well, everybody's name was mine was made up on a lot of people. Wayne. John Wayne's horrible.
I didn't have an opinion of John Wayne.
I think a lot
who
of
the hell
people
even
did.
Knows who he is anyway.
But all of a sudden,
now, knowing that he played Genghis Khan.
John Wayne was one of the rare, and even at that time, being on the right in Hollywood was not the most common thing. But he was very much a Republican. So, you know, I don't know.
And then he started coming on to me.
No, that's John Wayne Gacy.
My whole point
is... You're talking about the other John Wayne, right?
I don't understand why there's such an attack on people that sing along with a rap song...
It's stupid.
...and then say, that's okay. Or that's not worth a retweet. I mean, isn't that...
the problem is nobody likes Hannah B. Nobody likes...
A lot of people like Hannah B. The Bachelor Nation likes Hannah B.
Okay.
I mean, I think they do.
You're such a big Hannah B. fan.
I'm really not a Hannah B. fan. I didn't even find her that attractive, although sometimes she looks cute. Maz loves Hannah B.
She does, yeah.
And maybe that's...
yeah.
Oh, I got a... Let's see. Not badge cam. Cop cam. What do they call them?
Body cam.
Body cam. Somebody sent me body cam of the incident in Warren.
Yeah, yeah, I got that email,
which I thought was interesting because, you know, when that story first, and here again, here's your media. Look at what happened in Warren today.
Well, the link was to I don't want to give them any credit, but Fox 2. It was to a Fox 2 site.
The body cam?
Yeah.
Well, no, but when this story first came out, it was... There was one very obvious theme.
Sure.
Racist Warren police, and, you know, the poor
Amazon
driver who's African-American who is getting arrested. And there was a scuffle and some resisting arrest, I guess, of some kind. And they were going to charge him. And then the police chief, Bill Dwyer, comes out and says, no, you don't know the whole story. That was outrageous that the mayor would rush to judgment. And by the way, it's funny how rush to judgment is so horrible when it's O.J. Simpson. Remember, rush to judgment. Or I've heard rush to judgment so many times. But look at the rush to judgment on police. Look at the rush to judgment. The police officers fired Saturday night. The police chief resigned, was asked to resign, and resigned. She's LGBTQ, by the way.
There must be something else going on with Atlanta. Do they have a track record of abuse?
Atlanta.
Misconduct with police? I mean, that's the other thing,
I think Atlanta had the six, the people that were fired for pulling the black couple out of the car, and those were,
well, that could
those
be
were black
cops. That rush to judgment is going to come out of, you know, past experiences. It's not fair to the individual officer per se, but
no, they always wait. There's always, but I think they were trying to avoid. They were trying to say we're doing something about it, so don't burn up the city.
Didn't save that Wendy's.
No.
By the way, did you see the video of the girl starting the fire at Wendy's?
I did not.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to make sure everyone knows that it is a white woman that is.
I did see
the
that,
fire.
But I also noticed that Wendy's
like
was
already
on fire when
yeah,
she was lighting
exactly.
that section.
You know, it's funny how
but it could have been her. It could have been someone else. You don't know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
amazing how you know this constant. You know, oh look at this white person calling the police on black people. Well, what would happen if people started saying, hey, look at this black person doing this, robbing a store or whatever. I mean, and it literally put it that way. You know, that here's a black person committing a crime.
Well, robbing a store is illegal. I mean, a lot of the things that...
Well, calling 911 on someone and saying they're threatening your life is...
It's a waste. Yeah.
I don't know if that... I think that is illegal, actually.
Did you see the new one? The guy was putting Black Lives Matter in front of his house in chalk.
Yeah,
his own house, his house.
Well, my whole point was, it's in chalk. It's gonna rain
well,
and disappear.
I mean, if you want to find a white person doing something, telling on someone, calling 911, I'm sure with, let's see, there's 240 million white people in America. I'm sure there's a lot of white people doing dumb things every day, and I'm sure you can find it. And it's to make a narrative work. That I don't know how much proof you needed that people do racist things on a daily basis. Of course they do. But it's a very one-way street. I mean, as far as the cops go, too, I really haven't heard. In fact, I see it in shots all the time. I really haven't heard anyone complaining about all cops are bastards, ACAB. It's everywhere. Mm. But no one really complains about it. It's a broad brush. It's stereotyping. It's prejudging. Is that really? I mean, I don't even think anyone's. Is anyone complaining about it?
I've seen that written everywhere, and you just educated me on what it means. I'm serious. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know at first, but now I see it
all
over the place.
You see it all over, like the barriers of Chaz.
Chaz rules, man. Let's move there.
It, no, it's Chop. It's not Chaz.
Oh, it's Chaz.
They changed it to Chop.
Capitol Hill.
I don't know.
Autonomous.
I don't know what it is. But
what happened to Chaz?
But you know, on Saturday, on Friday, actually, the governor was it the governor of Washington that said, "I don't even know what that is."
What? Well, I got to tell you,
the police have vacated a precinct.
I got to tell you, I've been reading a lot about it, and I still don't really understand what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
It's a bunch of hippies, man.
Did you see the video of the person demanding that all the white people give a black person $10 inside Chaz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another great video inside Chaz.
Proven we don't need corporations. We don't need money. This can become a commune where everyone just helps each other. Yeah, we'll have one guy who makes bread. And one guy who looks out for other people's safety.
You mean like a baker and a cop?
No, can't you imagine a place where people live together and, like, provide services for each other in exchange for their services?
Yeah, it's called a town.
You kids just haven't been to college yet. But just you wait. This thing is about to get huge!
You know, I meant to finish with the canceling and the statues now, which are going down all over the place. There's a group of people with guns who are surrounding a Christopher Columbus statue. And what happens with Christopher Columbus, and I know this from Arizona, is Italian-Americans are very proud of Christopher Columbus. And when MLK Day was voted in 1991 in Phoenix, when I lived there in Arizona, they said, we're going to eliminate Columbus Day and we're going to use Martin Luther King Day as that holiday. And Italian Americans were really upset. You know, hey, how dare you? Christopher Columbus is one of, you know, because Italians have not always had the best PR. Mm-hmm. And they thought Christopher Columbus was a guy that they were proud of. And so anyway, this Columbus statue is being surrounded. And this whole business of it, which is, by the way, why is it okay to have people with guns around a statue protecting it against people that may destroy a statue? And I realize that it's very statue. Popular to take statues down right now, but isn't it kind of strange when the public just decides it's going to topple down a statue? Isn't that a little odd?
I don't know. Like I said the other day, it doesn't really do much for me either way.
Well, we're going to need to change Route 53, too.
I don't care
Van
if they
Dyke,
go.
Man. That's the Christopher Columbus Highway.
Oh, is that where the people with the guns are?
No, but I noticed the other day when I was driving through it a big sign that said you're on the Christopher Columbus.
I see. Okay,
and I was God, I better get off this road.
The reason I ask is not because I want all the people taking statues down arrested or I think they're wrong or anything like that. I just feel like when you have people with guns surrounding a statue that a lot of people want to take down, isn't that just begging for some kind of horrible incident?
Yeah, it's going to stop people from taking down that statue.
Or they're going to shoot somebody. Or somebody's with the gun is going to get shot. I don't know. I mean, that's just what the fuck is going on out there?
I don't know. Apparently that statue means a lot.
Well, to Italian Americans, it does. But
even though the trip was commissioned by Spain?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know, as far as the history, it's funny how you can learn something. You can learn something as a child in 1967 or 68,
yeah.
And 50 years later, you're told that this person is so horrible, his statues must all come down.
Yep.
And
all because
you know,
of Washington Irving.
Washington Irving?
Yeah, he built the myth of Columbus.
So why did America buy it in 1967 and reject it in two?
Who writes history? The winners.
But that's about 500 years before I was in school learning about Columbus. What happened in the first 500 years that didn't happen in the next 40 years or the next 50 years? What, I mean, isn't that strange? As far as the Confederacy, I understand how that works. I lived in the South, and for some reason, the Civil War means a lot to the South, and why they call you a Yankee when you're on the winning team,
I don't
really understand, but they do. They do, and it's not just like, you know, super Southern racist types. I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, you sound like a Yankee or, you know, things like that. But as far as statues go, Malcolm X has a statue. And I don't think anyone has torn down Malcolm X's statue or tried to or wants to. And I don't think it would be taken terribly well if it was, because Malcolm X was about empowerment, among other things. He also was a black supremacist. He believed in separation of blacks and whites. He did not believe in integration. He spent 10 years in prison for, was it burglary, armed robbery, something. I mean, he was in prison for a long time. He reinvented himself as Malcolm X and was very controversial because he did not, you know, he fought integration. He was for black supremacy. He believed in black supremacy. And he also criticized the civil rights movement because he thought it was too nonviolent. He was assassinated, which I don't know what assassination generally is good for you in the long run, I suppose. But, I mean, should his statue come down?
Where's his statue at?
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Oh, Harlem?
Oh, it's in Washington Heights.
Oh, where's that?
New York.
Okay.
I think Al Sharpton has some history in Washington Heights. Well, Al Sharpton's another good example. Al Sharpton is a person who did a bad thing. Well, actually, a very bad thing. But Al Sharpton is forgiven for it.
There's a Tupac statue.
There is a Tupac statue. Tupac Shakur, now, you certainly could make a case for not giving him a statue.
Well, here's the problem with statues. Every human is flawed to a certain extent. No human is perfect.
Well, I'm not trying to do the, what about?
Well,
but I'm just saying, when you decide to take a statue down.
That's what everyone's doing, so.
Yeah, but if Malcolm X's statue were to come down, I don't think the reaction would be the same. But I think a lot of people could say, on the same basis as some of the other statues are coming down, that this is a bad person who did not believe in equality, not even remotely, and believed in being violent, didn't believe in the nonviolent civil rights movement. I mean, he has a statue because he means something to certain people. He may not mean that to other people.
So does it matter? I'm just asking a question. Does it matter that the I found it now here that the statue for Malcolm X is at the Audubon Ballroom, where he was murdered, and it's on private property as opposed to a public square?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Why would that matter? If Christopher Columbus or Thomas Jefferson had a statue and it was on private property, would people say?
I mean, OJ has a statue on private property. Didn't Mancow buy it?
His son, did Mancow buy it?
I think Mancow bought the OJ.
His son took a baseball bat to it. Remember that?
That's right. I thought Mancow bought his statue.
And Thomas Jefferson, why don't we just drop a bomb on UVA? Was a Virginia Tech student and alumni. Does anybody have a problem with that?
He was?
What?
Wait, what'd you say?
Thomas Jefferson.
What did you say about because you went to Virginia Tech?
I went to Virginia Tech, so of course it wouldn't hurt my feelings. My brother went to UVA, though, so I'm sure he wouldn't dig it. But if he is so bad, Thomas Jefferson is so terrible that the students and faculty wrote a letter to the president of the university and gave her a shit time because she quoted Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And they begged her, do not ever quote Thomas Jefferson again.
Well, Washington.
So why
too.
Are all these students going there? Aren't they racist for wanting to go to UVA?
Clearly, the
Jeff,
answer.
You're racist.
The answer is to change the name of everything to John Adams and John Quincy Adams. Because I don't think they had slaves because they were city folk.
Well, there's a lot of discussion now.
Adams, D.C.
Where are all these Jefferson and Washington statues? I didn't even. There was a Jefferson Memorial.
Yeah. There's also Memorial too.
Why are those still standing?
Well, they better tear them all down.
I'm kind of surprised, honestly.
Well, because once again, I think this country sees the good they did to outweigh the bad. Plus.
People can be do a bad thing, but they can still be good overall?
That's what I just said 10 minutes ago, yeah.
Well.
Plus, I don't think people knew the extent.
Isn't there a little context involved, too? I mean, instead of everything is either this or that, and there's no in-between.
Sure. No, everybody does it all the time.
You know, like I said, Al Sharpton did a bad thing, but he's accepted and he, you know, has certainly gotten through it. Bill Clinton. Why is Bill Clinton? I mean, he did a bad thing. JFK. He got a strange piece of ass every time he had a headache. But we accept that he also did a lot of great things.
Exactly.
It's getting kind of crazy. The statues, I didn't really give it that much thought until I heard about this Columbus statue. And I just thought, something really bad is going to happen.
Well, like all statues, it's a symbol. So I'm sure it's these people's symbol of tearing it down is like tearing down oppression.
Hey, more importantly, after, 38 years, where's this freaking RoboCop statue?
Exactly.
That's the statue we need right now.
Although he was an officer that would kill indiscriminately.
You're right. Now that it's kind of a good thing that it's not sitting there at the Science Center right now, because it would probably get ripped down
after it took the guy
53 years to create the statue.
All statues should be of fictional characters from now on, like Columbus's statue.
This statue better be 135 feet tall. I'm telling you, it's got to be.
Come on, no more statues. Can't handle it. No more statues for anyone.
Frustrated about that. Kickstarter's gone out of business.
Well, if people are going to judge you in 100 years or 200 years, I think a statue is a lot harder to build because have any context in 200 years.
Was there a statue in Louisville of like King Louis XIV that was torn down and his descendant was really upset about it in France?
Know.
It's like, fuck you. You're in France. Go build one over there.
I have no idea.
Who cares? It's a statue.
I got to tell you, I really, and go ahead, kill me, cancel me. In fact, I've probably left 5 shows in the last 3 weeks where I was like, God, I wonder if this show, did today's show get me canceled? Is this going to be the one? Because I never feel like I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just trying to understand things. And sometimes it's a process where you flesh it out. When you put out this many hours of content, and you don't necessarily think about or analyze every single thing you say off the top of your head. It gets a little weird, but these cops in Atlanta last night, when I saw the TMZ thing and these people calling pigs, yeah, your career's over, motherfucker. And I just felt so awful. I mean, the whole thing felt bad. As soon as I heard it, I was like, I knew something like this would happen. I knew something like this would happen. And it will happen again because these cops are not trained. They have not been retrained. They have not really changed anything about being a cop. And when I heard all the discussion about it on the three networks last night, no one even pointed out that this shooting is like many other shootings. This is not that unusual. Now, I know a lot of people said this, and I agree with them, that, oh, guy's falling asleep in a parking lot. Why is he dead? Well, the reason he's dead is because, first of all, we use lethal force. When a police officer decides to discharge their gun, they're not supposed to shoot them in the leg. They're not supposed to shoot them in the arm. They're supposed to eliminate the threat. And we've been down this road many times. And when a guy is running, when a guy fights the police and wins the fight and takes off and steals the cop's taser gun and turns around to shoot it at the cop, I could see a lot of people calling it justified. And in fact, I heard the mayor of Atlanta. What?
Oh, I was going to say Rudy Giuliani just came out and said that.
Well, how many people can even say it?
Well, I think a lot of, I mean, if
I didn't hear, I swear to God, yesterday,
they probably won't get charged because of that.
He's fired. He's already fired.
Fired.
He's fired. I mean, that says you're guilty.
Well, let's see what the union does.
Anyway, as far as that event, I agreed with the Atlanta mayor. I thought this was the most interesting quote I've heard. Let me get it right, because I really thought she absolutely nailed the whole problem. I'm not even sure she intended to.
You mean Biden's VP?
Keisha Bottoms?
You know, I like her, too. I've heard her say a lot of things the last couple of weeks, and I really like her. And I almost, in a weird way, I like that she did something. I don't even know that she did the right thing in firing the cop and in getting the police chief. First LGBTQ police chief in history in a large city resigned over that very shooting, and also over the police that pulled the black couple out of the car. I guess that was part of it. But she said there's a difference between what you can do and what you should do.
Yeah.
Well, so in other words, I think she was saying that, you know, this may turn out to be a justifiable shooting. But they shouldn't have shot it.
Based on the past, it certainly seems like it will be deemed a justifiable shooting.
And, you know, because I could hear if people were behind the police, which they were for a long time, or there was at least a lot of people who were behind the police, they would say, he stole his taser. He beat up the cop. He did not comply. He refused to comply. He was under arrest. He then beat up two cops. He's taking off. And he turns around to shoot the taser. What if he shot the cop in the eye with a taser?
Well, therein lies the question. When do you want them going after a quote-unquote threat? I mean, if the guy's running away, do you just let him go?
Well, do you remember last week when I was doing my copservations, I said, if they're not going to chase people in a car, why do they chase people on foot?
Yeah.
Because what good could come of that? And we've had a lot of people shot while being chased. The guy in Pittsburgh who was part of the drive-by shooting was pulled over, ran from the car, and he pulled a, not a gun, but he did have a gun. He left it in the back seat of the car. He had the cartridge.
Uh-huh.
He pulled the cartridge out, which was shiny, and the cop shot him, and the whole city protested. And then they said, oh, yes, it was the guy in the drive-by shooting. There were bullet holes in the car, which the cop saw.
That seems like a justifiable belief that he had his gun on him. Or had odd guns.
I think it's probably
a guy running away.
But the whole
city,
I mean, talk about a rush to judgment. The entire city protested for days. And Sacramento had that was, remember when they people just ran into the city hall, and today they were doing the same thing at City Hall in Seattle. They were chanting for the mayor. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Whatever her name is, got to go. That was a rush to judgment in Pittsburgh. It was a rush to judgment yesterday, and especially if you think there's a difference between what they can do and what you should do.
But this is America. We don't wait for anything.
Yes, we do.
We don't wait for anything.
What about police retraining that we've been talking about for how long?
Well, you have to want it to happen. I just mean this is a very impatient society. We want things now.
But we don't do anything. We kick everything down the road. Everything gets kicked down the road.
Well, until it's too late. I mean, you and I were talking about that before. How often do we see that? We saw it with 9/11. There was a lot of problems, but nobody took it serious until something actually happened.
Well,
See with the coronavirus. However, took the threat of that serious until it happened.
In my opinion, getting to this point, a lot of it has to do with the storyline that police are racist, that police don't care about black lives, that that only black people's lives don't matter, and when they are taken out by a policeman, it's because they value black lives less. And this has been something, I mean, how many times have you seen the George Floyd video on TV? And I'm not saying it's not an important video and it is the worst thing in the world, but I think you start to really affect a lot of people by constantly talking about these few cases. And, you know, a few is too many. I'm not saying that it's, fuck it, who cares about that guy or that guy or that guy or that guy? And they all resisted arrest. Or they're criminals, or, you know, I watched Candace Owens' video, and I agree with her. No, it was fucking horrible. But if you are constantly barraged with these kinds of stories, and they, you know, like I said, in Pittsburgh, the protests happened before anyone really knew what happened. And I'm not sure people wouldn't have protested anyway if they had known. But when you're saying there's a difference between what an officer can do and what he should do, that means the training is fucked. Because using lethal force is either or. It's not, well, you know, it might not be illegal to do that, but you shouldn't have killed that guy.
Yeah.
And I brought up the guy with the rake who was deaf.
Deaf, yeah.
That was on the east side, I believe. I don't think he would kill anyone with a rake. I don't think he needed to be killed. In fact, honestly, if it's all about his life and not the officer's life, because that was that for the longest time was, hey, if there's even a scintilla of a chance that this guy could hurt the officer, fuck him, kill him, eliminate the threat, because yeah. You can't fight the police. Now it seems it's almost like, hey, resisting arrest isn't a big deal. You still shouldn't kill the guy. Because honestly, well, no one was even talking about resisting arrest. It was a guy who was sleeping at Wendy's and the cops killed him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can all
see
the video. But
there should not be a difference between what you can do and what you should do. They should be the same thing. There was a Greektown case where a homeless guy was running at a police officer and he shot him and killed him. Did he need to die? No, he didn't need to die.
Nope.
He was a homeless guy.
At least there,
Green need to die? No, Malice Green didn't need to
totally
die.
Different story. But at least there, the guy's coming at them. I mean, that's a little bit more.
But he didn't have a gun.
They don't know that.
He's a wimp. I just don't think that guy was really a big threat. But I think under the way those cases are usually handled, that's okay.
Yeah.
That was okay at the time. And we've seen cases where the guy could have driven his car into the cop.
Well, could have, yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah,
but
a lot of times they weren't even really appearing to do that. But they shot him, and it was like, hey, look, we err on the side of this. And now all of a sudden, you know, in one day or in 3 weeks, we've said, nope, not even good enough. He's pointing a taser. What's that taser going to do? If he's pointing a gun, okay. Well, I've never heard that said before. He's got to be pointing. He has to have a gun in order to use lethal force? No, they've never said
it. Is there a feeling that most criminals would rather fight than flight? Like they're going to. Like they want to take on the police? Is that a prevailing? Why are they perceived as such a threat all the time?
Well, I think because they're fighting with the police. I got to tell you.
No, but I mean, like with the rake guy or with the homeless guy or the new one, the gas station guy, and
they're not complying.
Okay.
And I think, you know, there's a certain level of compliance that if you go beyond, that it wasn't even that big a deal to shoot people. But I think that's the way police are trained. And I constantly go back to the leadership that they never did anything. We've talked about this. Ferguson burned down 5 years ago. Yeah. And, well, you know, maybe it's police training or I don't know what it is. But they sure seem like they want to kill black people.
Sure. Well, it's not just the deadly force of it, too. I mean, there is the issue of the plenty of studies have shown that they get pulled over more often, too.
Well, that's...
I mean, they see that as the harassment.
That's part of it. But I think when you're talking about somebody getting pulled over for driving in Birmingham, which I'm sure is less common than it used to be, but probably more than it... Certainly more any time, one time, is more than it should be. Or someone being accused of shoplifting, or someone being followed around an auto showroom or whatever it is because you're black or because you're Hispanic or because you're whatever you are. that someone has judged or prejudged. But we're talking about people being killed and people saying, and you know, honestly, when people say this, every time I go, no. When people say, every time my son leaves the house, I'm worried a policeman is going to kill him. I think that's a function of how much it has been suggested that police want to kill black people, or they do not value the lives of black people. And there are cases that come up over and over and over. And now we hear the names repeated because this is like a drumbeat and a new name is added all the time. But no one has ever changed the training of police. They've never said, well, you know, a guy running away, you can't shoot a guy running away because he's not a threat. Yeah. You know, because and then the argument becomes, well, did he turn around? Wasn't he shooting a stun gun at him? He took his stun gun away. It's like, well, he wasn't going to kill the cop. So why would you kill him? Why lethal force? Well, they've always fallen on the side of the guy, the police officer, using lethal force if there was even a possibility of a threat. But the conversation I heard last night was, hey, he didn't have a gun. He wasn't going to shoot him. What's a fucking stun gun going to do to him? Well, I agree with him. That guy wasn't going to kill the police. By the way, they could have let him run away, and they could have radioed someone, and they could have gotten him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much trouble that would have been. But
also had his license plate, I think. I don't know. Obviously,
yeah, I don't know much about Rayshard Brooks either. I haven't heard anything about him. I don't know what his background is. They don't either, of course. Well, maybe they do.
Well,
because they ran him. I mean, they probably ran his name.
Yeah.
But
it really depends on what they knew as they approached him. But if it's a perceived threat, does that threat ever expire? In other words, yeah, he was tussling with them, but the second he gets up and starts running, is he still a threat? I don't know.
Okay, first of all, the police are supposed to chase. They're supposed to chase him. They're not supposed to go, ah, fuck it.
No, I know.
When he turns around and is firing the stun gun at the police, I think the prevailing feeling is, and I'm not trying to say it's right or wrong.
It just doesn't feel right to me. I don't know.
No, I agreed with the mayor of Mayor Bottoms, who said there's a difference between what you can do and what you should do. Because what she's saying, in my opinion, I don't know because I didn't talk to her, but that, yeah, cops probably think that's okay. But I don't. And most people don't.
But there are laws to protect them, to allow them to use deadly force, because it's a crazy fucking
right.
job.
So why haven't we done anything with that? If that is so off, if what happened last night is so wrong, it's not even close. The police, you fire the cop. Then something, there's a disconnect somewhere. And that's
subjective.
What I've been complaining about all week. Yeah, a lot of it is subjective, but it usually falls on the, we protect the police because nothing should ever happen to the policeman.
No, but I mean, even that law is subjective because it depends who's going to see what a threat is to you as an officer or another officer is not going to be the same.
Well, training should be,
it should be
at least good enough that it's not a mile of disconnect. And when you're saying that, yeah, the cop can do that because it's justifiable, but he shouldn't have done it. No, he either should do it or he shouldn't do it. And it's always going to be some gray area. Obviously, there's always going to be gray area. But I don't think the gray area is even small. I think the gray area has been huge for a long time. And the idea has been, don't comply. Officer's at some risk here. He's fucking fighting with him. There was a guy in Louisiana, who was on the ground fighting with the police. And they shot him sitting on the ground.
Yeah, Elton Sterling. He was the one selling the CDs.
I don't think he was a lethal threat. But I can tell you this,
Remember, though, that's the one they said where he reached for the gun. So talk about being subjective.
Well, did he have a gun in his pocket?
No, they say he was reaching for the officer's gun, Brandon.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's how the guy in Ferguson
was trying to take the gun away from the cop.
Now, once again, that's very subjective. How do you know he was really reaching for the gun? Somebody would say, yeah, he is. Someone would say, no, he is. You don't know.
Well, but frankly,
the guy's dead. So.
I think we have tended to fall on the side of the police officer who feels threatened. And when he's fighting the police, by the way, that is kind of a threat.
But in that case, isn't that why the law should protect him? Because you don't want it to fall on the chance that you would rather err on the side that he's reaching for the gun in that case. But once again, that's tough.
But honestly, I just don't think the training has changed at all. I don't think they've even addressed it. It doesn't seem like it.
I don't know if training's changed much at all. I don't know. I have no idea, though.
What happened when all the country's burning down or being looted or whatever? What happened? Oh, we might not have been chokeholds.
Yeah.
Well, why are we just talking? Why are we talking about that now? Why haven't we been over that and decided that either it's bad or it's good?
Because we just react.
I know.
There's no foresight going on in any sense of government.
Nobody does anything. Nothing is getting done. Not only that, there will be lobbyists. Trust me, there will be lobbyists who will make it difficult for someone to vote that way. For some reason, I can't even tell you what it is, but there's always somebody putting money in somebody's pocket because we're the police group that does this and that. We love the police and take this money. And,
not to go off on another tangent, but
I'm the law and order senator or the law and order president or whatever I am.
Infrastructure in this country is terrible. We've seen a bridge collapse once again, I guess, ironically, in Minneapolis a few years ago.
I never did anything.
And everybody freaks out about it. We see a dam collapse in Midland.
Everybody forgot about that already.
And nobody's going to fucking fix anything because let's just kick that can down the road until apparently all the bridges collapse at once and everyone gets mad about it.
Not only that, when the dam collapsed, and look at all those people who are just fucked. All those people who bought real estate and were never told that, there's a dam, it's a very dangerous situation, could go any day. They didn't tell those people that. They didn't tell them anything.
It's about time we fix the dam.
No, and I know everybody hates government, but when you have two fucking inspectors for every dam in this state.
But that dam was not an unknown thing. They knew about that dam, and no one did anything.
No one is fixing it.
I know they say, it's privately owned, so what are you going to do? Well, if a privately owned dam is a threat to that many residents, there'd be a public-private effort to somehow force this guy to do it, or he'd be taken to court 19 times?
I think that's when the public entity should step up and say, fix the shit, basically.
Well, I don't know why it would take a the government.
Yeah, and there's
The government should. They should.
The board that oversees DTE, they just can't raise the prices willy-nilly because they're a monopoly. Dam.
I'm sure
it's not like you can build another dam there.
I'm sure DTE spends a lot of money on politicians to make sure they get a fair end of the shake.
Because, once again, these lawmakers are reactive to cover their own fucking tracks.
Well, I don't know. I just feel like, honestly, when I heard Giuliani say that today, I thought, I bet you. And I tried to write Vince, the Ferndale chief of police, not to put him on the spot. But I was just curious if in the current view of things, in view of current training, would that be a justifiable killing of Rayshard Brooks? Because I have a
freaking Giuliani.
I bet you a lot of people think it was justified. I bet you a lot of police think it was justified. Maybe I'm wrong. Have you heard many police say what they thought?
No.
I hear commentators telling me all night that a guy who's sleeping shouldn't be killed. And I agree. I don't know why that guy was killed. I don't know why the guy with the rake was killed. I don't know why the homeless guy was killed. Well, he's running at the cop. Is a homeless guy running at a cop going to kill the cop?
No.
Is that the standard?
But I don't know. That one's tough.
I mean, I don't even think he was a big guy. There was a lot of people very upset about that. He's running at him. What are you supposed to do? He told him to stop. He didn't stop.
The other interesting case along those lines is going to be the Breonna Taylor killing in Louisville. I mean, she was sleeping. They busted in. Now the question is, did they
Didn't her boyfriend shoot?
Yeah, because he was standing his ground. He thought there was an intruder. So now it's,
wasn't it the wrong house, though?
No.
They didn't find anything. I don't know if it was the wrong house, but he's saying nobody ever identified themselves, and the police are saying, "Yeah, we did, totally did." So once again, it's a police.
Well, police? Okay, let me just ask you this, because now it seems to me that we believe generally that if we have a choice between the alleged criminal and the police, that we don't believe the police.
But I don't think
we generally never believe the police.
I don't think he's a criminal, though. This guy.
Why were they breaking into his place?
They were issuing a no-knock warrant.
Okay, but I mean, what? There has to be a reason.
They thought they were going to get drugs. Yeah. They were raiding them for drugs, and they went in there,
the
boyfriend returned fire, and
because they were both sleeping.
Yeah. Well, I didn't make up the law for the no-knock warrant, and I don't know why that law exists. But shouldn't that law be changed?
That's actually one. Well, the individual policeman, probably no. Of course not. It's their training. But still,
that's what I mean. We don't do anything about it.
But that's where you're going to get the broad brush from, because it's the whole industry and the rules of policing as opposed to the individual policeman.
So all cops are bastards.
Well, no, but that's, I'm sure that's where it comes from. People love to broad brush a group
right,
to make
but,
a change.
But if you're talking about race, which is what we are talking about, because race colors everything in this, and race is the main reason we're talking about this. If you don't want, if you, the complaint is that police value blacks' lives less, or police, you know, and there's a myriad of ways that this is said, then why is it okay to say all cops are bastards when you have very low paid people doing really brutal work? It's horrible work. It's mm-hmm. very hard. And by the way, if all cops are bastards, why does everyone call the police when they're in trouble? Because they do.
Well, I mean, that's their job.
But if you didn't, if you thought the police were out to kill you, or they're out to hurt you, or they're not, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. There was a survey over the weekend that said 8% of people under 30 trust the police a great deal. That's less, that's a lot less than Congress. Congress is the lowest form of life in terms of trust of any public institution, I think.
If you dig into that poll, though, I think I felt like that headline was a little misleading.
It's a little misleading, but if you're under 30, in my opinion, if you're under 30 and you're a minority, especially if you're black, of course you would say you don't trust the police. What would you? What have you seen in terms of the way the police are covered and the way the police are described? I can't imagine why a minority under 30 would trust the police. I'm not saying they should trust the police, but I don't think they really have any choice at this point.
So the other aspects, that's 8% trust them, quote unquote, a great deal. But if you look at some, now you're talking about another 36%, and a little is 28.
Well,
I'm just saying it's not. It's once again, it's not an A or a B choice.
Well, but
that's
I thought the
headline was a little misleading.
It was not a good. It was not a good look for the police. I don't think that's what the police would expect. I do think, though, that the fact is, after all these cases, and you can chant 12 or 14 names, and they were chanting their names yesterday. After all of those, and they're so, I mean, they are media barrages, every single one of them, to think that it takes this to change it. It takes,
so,
well, now we got a video of a guy getting his neck crushed for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Fuck me. Come on. Why was there no effort to do anything? As far as I can't breathe, which is another chant, another shirt.
Because it's easier not to change things.
I know, but.
And by the way,
But why do we blame the police, the guys in the street who have been told,
well,
by jurisprudence, by the fact that most of these police, almost all of them, are acquitted in the end, not that you would ever want to go through such a thing, then I'm not surprised the cop shot the guy last night. I'm not. Because
not either.
To me, from what I have seen over the years in terms of cases that are determined to be,
the frightening thing is how normal that video looked. Because we've seen so many of them.
Yeah, I've certainly seen a lot of them, but I think the prevailing feeling was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that, hey, you don't comply with the cops, fuck you. You know, you're a threat.
By the way, going back to that poll, if you look at everybody, and this is just another way to look at it, 16% don't trust the police at all, of all people. So the majority, there is trust there among the vast majority of the rest of people.
Well, even 16% not trusting the police at all? I mean, that's basically saying the whole operation is corrupt.
But remember that other poll that was 5 years ago, or maybe it's less than that, maybe it's like 3 years ago. It was 85% did. So it hasn't changed that much.
Well, I think the drumbeat against the police and about what a shit job they do and how little they think of black people. And I know the other thing is, this is a one-way conversation. There's no discussion of why it is that this occurs on such a regular basis either, or why it is that 51% of shootings are black perpetrators, or why one third of blacks are in the criminal justice system if they're between 18 and 34. I mean, it's really,
Which honestly is the bigger problem, isn't it?
Of course it is. No, there's multiple problems that are bigger. And when you say, you know, actually, it's funny. I was reading comments about the Brooks story last night, because in watching the networks, I thought it was like, I just thought it was so hard to understand even what was going on here. And I really wanted to hear someone talk about, based on police training, did this cop do something that is reasonable? And my opinion was probably so, because I don't think they've changed their training for shit. And in fact, I've seen cops under a far, well, I don't say far less. I've seen cops threatened less that have shot people and not been even taken into the criminal justice system as a murderer or for murder or homicide. And no one was discussing whether it was justifiable on the basis of police training. And I thoroughly agreed with the Atlanta mayor that there's a difference between what you can do and what you should do. But how can you even say that? Difference between what you can do and what you should do? Well, then that's wrong. If you shouldn't shoot someone, then you shouldn't be able to. I mean, it shouldn't be a matter of what you can. Well, yeah, that would fall within the area of being a threat, but you shouldn't shoot them. Well, no, if they're a threat, they're supposed to eliminate the threat. In fact, they're not supposed to shoot them in the leg. You know, Biden said that the other day, and I've thought that a million times. God, they could have just shot the guy in the leg. We can't wave a rake at a guy if you've been shot in the leg. So that, you can't run away if you're shot in the leg.
I'm just looking a little bit more in this poll, that 8%, you know, of 18 to 29 that has a great deal of trust for police.
Yeah.
9% in that same demo has a great deal of trust for corporations. It's like, do they trust anything? No. What do they touch? The only thing they trust less, let's see if I can find it again. Where's that in here? The only thing they trust less, well, they trust religion a lot more. That's kind of surprising for that age. The news media is the one thing they trust less. They have a great deal of trust for them. Well, once again, that's another thing.
You are fake news.
Another thing that's shaped by what people see and don't see.
You want to hit the outro?
Gladly. It's my bedtime.
Derek Sanholm's tomorrow. He's, I don't know if he has a gig or he's just got a record coming out. Oh, no, we'll know. Yeah. We'll let you know.
Does anybody have a gig? In Graft tomorrow, no. I guess, right?
Yeah, Gary will be with us tomorrow. We'll find out about his 10 albums and why he picked them. And Trump has moved his first bash out of Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And by the way, that story was fascinating to me because I never even knew what Juneteenth was until we were doing that show where the preacher said his car was spray painted because it was Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And someone put a ribbon on the rearview mirror and said, that ribbon is that's about Juneteenth. And I was like, Juneteenth? I've never even heard of Juneteenth. And when I heard people complaining about the president's choice of Tulsa, I never knew that event happened in Tulsa. I never heard that in my life.
You need to watch The Watchmen. I only knew
that because of Watchmen.
Yeah.
Well, but honestly, when people
they don't teach it in school.
When people started talking about Juneteenth, I was like, when? So everyone knows what Juneteenth is? I'm not the only one. I never knew what Juneteenth was.
Once again,
was.
Two more things they don't teach in school.
Well, I just thought it was, more than anything, it was an effort to say, you don't care! Well, and he moved the speech, which surprised me.
Well, either now, it's either he doesn't care, or how can you not have anybody that would know that, I would guess. It's kind of
weird, I've never heard
too.
Juneteenth being celebrated, honest, or even noted.
Been around for a while, apparently.
Except for the preacher. Now I know. All right, we'll see you tomorrow!